courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld told reporters today the U.S. could decide to shoot down the North Korean missile if it launches, a decision to be made by the president. On the CBS Evening News, David Martin says U.S. forces are ready.
Orders have been issued to the fledgling missile defense system to be prepared to shoot down the North Korean missile if it is launched in a direction to land on American soil. That includes the Pacific island of Guam, site of a growing U.S. military base. Defense Secretary Rumsfeld said today the decision to fire would be up to the president. In the latest satellite photos, fuel tanks draped in camouflage netting can still be seen around the pad, meaning the missile is not yet ready for launch.
North Korea's ambassador to Russia got an earful today, summoned to the Kremlin to hear of Russia's displeasure with Pyongyang's plans. General George Casey said today Sunni insurgents have reached out and several strings of contact are alive with the new Iraqi government. As for al-Qaeda,
al-Qaeda is hurt in the aftermath of Zarqawi's death. They're hurt, but they're not finished, and they won't be finished for some time.
The National Academy of Sciences says the world has warmed up nearly a degree in the last century. UC Berkeley professor Kurt Cuffey says blame it on us.
This information is certainly consistent with the prevailing view that climate is warming due to human influences and will continue to do so in the future.
Dissenting opinion, Myron Ebell at the Competitive Enterprise Institute says don't misread what the committee really said.
They said the evidence just isn't there. They didn't say we don't believe it. I think some of them do believe that that's true, but there isn't enough evidence to make a very strong case for it.
Another report in last month's journal Nature says the trend is already reversed and projected. The ozone hole is closing and may fully heal by 2050. Wildfires, such as the one near Sedona, Arizona, are like a thing alive and very dangerous. Firefighters say they're holding their own so far, 3,300 acres and climbing, hundreds of homes threatened. Author and musician Kinky Friedman is on the ballot as an independent in the race for Texas governor.
I'm 61 years old, which is too young for Medicare and too old for women to care. But I care about Texas, and I don't like what's happened to her. And so that's why I'm running in the first place.
Friedman insists he is not a novelty candidate. He's also not the only independent on the ballot, the other being Carol Keaton Strayhorn. Japanese researchers have studied the subject and decided on the solution to the country's baby shortage. More sex. They assembled experts to figure that out. Turns out Japanese people are so busy working they don't have enough fun. 31% of people between the ages of 16 and 49 had not had sex in at least a month. On Wall Street, the Dow lost 60 points to close at 11,019. The Nasdaq was off about 18 points on the day. This is CBS News.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic weekend getaway? Well, how about 3 days and two nights in Las Vegas? And what about you don't pay a dime for it? That's right. Act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas's newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge. Stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on. You know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call this special toll-free number, 877-33-GO-WIN. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 877-33-GO-WIN for all the exciting details. That's 877-33-GO-WIN. Call now.
Think we're not preoccupied by time? Just look at the words we use.
The Oxford Dictionary studied more than a billion words from the 21st century, and when it all ticked down, the word time was the most used noun in the English language. And whether it's on your side or on your watch,
does anybody really know what time it is?
it seems to always be on your lips. Especially when you're out of time. Chris Mavridi, CBS News, New York.
Lightning doesn't have to hit your body to shock you or hurt you, and in this case, lightning killed a motorcyclist. The bolt punched a 4-inch hole in the road and evidently sent the motorcycle rider off the road into the center divider. An autopsy will tell what actually killed the man in Westminster, Colorado, whether it was lightning directly or the crash. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
The following is a message from Pfizer.
Dr. Drew Pinsky here on a subject guys hate to talk about, erectile dysfunction. Well, if guys won't even talk about it, how can we doctors treat them? First caller.
Yes, just for the record, I've never personally experienced ED.
Okay.
But were I ever someday to have this issue, I have a prearranged code with my doctor.
You're going to mention some kind of code phrase.
Exactly. One I'm not at liberty to divulge at this point in time.
And you think your doc will remember it?
Well...
Wouldn't it be easier to just take a deep breath and blurt out?
As in, hey doc, I think I might have ED.
Well, yeah.
That wasn't so bad. Thanks.
And we're on the air. If you think you might have ED, your doctor's the one who can help. So blurt, stammer, hem, or haw, your doc will get the drift. It could make a difference in your sex life. To learn more about ED and how to treat it, visit JustAskToday.com.
Good afternoon, or good evening, as the case may be. Welcome to another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, live, unscripted, unrehearsed, coming to you from the left coast of these United States, and we are oozing eastward. We are live on KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, Carmel by the Sea. We are live en vivo on KGOE 1480, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County. And people hear our program in the nighttime on 1240 KSAC Talk City in Sacramento and on 1480 KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. Wherever you are, however you listen, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining me. And you can always connect up by email, peter@peterbcollins.com. And if you're listening to our live broadcast, you're always invited to participate by phone. Just call us on the Central Coast at 831-899-5792. Or toll-free from anywhere around the United States at 888-579-2540. You got that? 888-579-2540. Lots to talk about on the program today. Coming up in about a half an hour, we're going to meet Asma Eshin, an Afghan native who lives in the United States now and is the co-founder of a group called Afghans for Tomorrow. We're going to get her take on the current situation in Afghanistan. And just talk about the situation there, which, by the way, has worsened in recent weeks. In fact, there have been more U.S. bombing raids of Afghanistan in the last 5 months than there have been in Iraq, if you can believe that. Also on the program today, Ann Wright is a friend of the family of First Lieutenant Aaron Watada. He refused to deploy to Iraq today. He served there once, and he decided it would be immoral for him to go back. He has challenged the premise of this war and his participation in it. He is refusing the order, saying that it's an illegal order. And we'll talk with his family friend, and advocate Ann Wright coming up next hour. Also on the program today, another look at the 9/11 Truth Movement. Don Paul and Jim Hoffman have produced a new DVD called 9/11 Guilt, The Proof is in Your Hands. Don has basically prepared the arguments for why the World Trade Center buildings, including most importantly number 7, were demolished by explosives and did not, in fact, come down due to contact with a wayward airplane. And Jim Hoffman names names, the people he believes have benefited from the destruction of the World Trade Center towers. We'll talk about that and the Northern California premiere of their new documentary, which I'll be hosting this coming Sunday in the Bay Area. We'll tell you about that coming up next hour here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Every week we make time to visit with Faz Shakir. He's co-editor of the Daily Progress Report, which is put out by the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. And I got to drop in and meet him and the crew personally last week. Hello, Faz.
Hey, Peter. How are you? I hope your D.C. experience wasn't too corrupting for you and that you enjoyed your time in the Beltway.
All I can say is that there's cash in my freezer, Faz. And beyond that, I just don't want to add any more details. But I had a great time. It was nice to meet you and your colleagues and observe your the pod there where you folks gather information and produce the progress report every day.
It's where the magic happens, Peter.
Yeah? Well, it sure does, and you guys manage to meet your deadline every day. That's a challenge in itself.
It is, but it's a lot of fun, and we were glad to meet you face-to-face, and I know that Nico and Amanda, who were on your show last Wednesday, I believe, really enjoyed that experience, and you got to broadcast out of our studio, so it was a great honor for us.
And I failed to explain that you would have been there except for your commitment to law school. How far along are you in law school?
I'm in my third year of law school at Georgetown, and so I'll be finishing up shortly. It's been a pain, but I'm happy to be almost done with it.
And you were looking for something that could actually lower your reputation a little bit?
I don't know if there's much more that could, but yes.
Well, Faz, let's kick off with a discussion of the debate in the U.S. Senate today. There were two resolutions calling for withdrawal from Iraq. They both went down, but one went down by less of a margin than the other. John Kerry's, which includes a reframed date for withdrawal, which was July 1st of 2007, only garnered 13 votes. But that's progress, because just last week he had a resolution similar with a different date, the end of this year, and he only got 6 votes for that. And when the Levin Amendment was presented, let's see, there were 39 favorable votes for that. So while this is not definitive, and while it's been a little uncomfortable to watch the Democrats debate and create targets for Republican opportunism, I find this gratifying that many senators are moving in what I consider to be the right direction.
That's right. I think what you'll hear from the media is that there's a lot of disunity, a lot of disorganization on the left. But in fact, I think the last obstacle that the left needs to finally hurdle is, when do we leave Iraq? By what date? Because all of the others we basically agreed on. In fact, I think the biggest moment or biggest issue coming out of these debates is that progressives across the board are now aligned on the need to redeploy from Iraq immediately. Everyone agrees on that. We need to start pulling out troops now. The issue is, when does the pulling out of troops end? Mm-hmm. And as you said, Senator Kerry has a timeline that would be about a year from now, while others want to extend it out a little bit on based on conditions on the ground. But you can slowly see how the ground is shifting, and they're slowly forming in a circle and kind of joining hands with one another. And I think it was also heartening to see that Senator John Warner and Senator Chuck Hagel, amongst those on the right, said that these are very responsible plans coming out from the left, and those they are well-meaning, well-intentioned, and they are things that they could possibly support at some point in time. Just now is not that time for them.
Well, and the Republicans have a very risky strategy here. It may pay off for them, but I believe they are doubling down in a very risky period of time here. They're hoping that the killing of Zarqawi and Bush's trip to visit al-Maliki are going to provide a bump for the administration's pro-war position. But the news from Iraq is so consistently bad, and the memo that came from Ambassador Khalilzad that arrived just about the time that Bush decided to make his secret trip to Baghdad, I think has been underplayed. And it really describes how bad the situation is there, and it reminds me of Vietnam just before the helicopters came in for the rooftop evacuations from the embassy.
That's right, and we also heard this week of the 8 Marines being charged, and there are more instances of sectarian violence. You're hearing about the militias gaining steam. You're hearing about new al-Qaeda leadership in Iraq. The conditions in which the Khalilzad memo talks about are actually near and around the green zone, which we've been led to believe is actually the safest place in Iraq, right?
Yeah, that's Disneyland.
That's right. That's right. But in fact, what they're describing is a place that is horrid and very scary, and one that really harasses, in which they face constant harassment. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, you're right that the picture on the ground is going to fog up all of the garbage that we're hearing from the right about progress being made and that conditions on the ground are improving.
Media's role will continue to be critical, because if they play ball with the White House and present happy news instead of the real truth, Many Americans, you know, might be soft-souled or misled into believing that things actually are getting better. But we also have the situation that came out, we believe, of our killing of Zarqawi. The payback was the atrocious kidnapping and apparent decapitation, if not other torture applied, to the two soldiers who were found about 3 miles from the checkpoint that they were abducted from. And, you know, I think one of the things that we haven't fully acknowledged is the that our behavior at Abu Ghraib and in the continuing occupation of Iraq gives an implicit license, and I think they take that license even much further, to our enemies to commit atrocities of a similar vein because they feel justified. They can rationalize it because of what they blame us for. And Bush was pretty deaf to the comments that were relayed to him by the press in Vienna yesterday as he tried to say, well, it's just absurd that, 85% of Europeans think that the U.S. has made the world less safe, not more safe.
You know, your comments remind me a little bit of what I heard from the Afghan President Hamid Karzai today. He was saying that the U.S. needs to reassess its approach on the war on terror, and we're always led to believe that Cheney's grasp for more executive power is an indication of strength. But what Karzai was saying is that the way we've been going about it has, in fact, furthering the war, the terrorism, and strengthening people like Zawahiri and bin Laden. And he said that there needs to be more focus paid on the roots of terrorism itself, what's causing it. So I thought that was very insightful from somebody who's on the ground, a really prominent player in the region. If I could also go back to one point, you talked about the media's role in all of this, and I think that one of the dangers here of how the media is covering Iraq is that they're now wanting to make this a political story. They want to fit this into the 06 framework. They want to talk about who's up, who's down, who's going to look strong going in, what plans are going to succeed. But we have to remember that, you know, Iraq is much more than just a 06 political story. There are real events on the ground. There are everyday fighting. There's, and we're still talking about troops who are on the front lines, and we shouldn't forget about that. Our policy should be debated regardless of whether we're close to the 06 election or whether we're years away from it. And I think that's kind of getting lost in the shuffle here.
Very well put, Fast. We're going to take a break and continue. When we come back, I want to talk about the missile games we're playing with North Korea right now. And if there's time, we'll talk about yesterday's negative vote on an increase in the minimum wage. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you have a question or comment, join us at 831-899-5792 or call us toll-free, 888-579-2540. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. In listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. This week on Rock Rollin' Real Estate, don't miss our special guest, Glenn Plantone. He'll be telling us about the hottest areas to invest in. Glenn has just returned from his second trip to Costa Rica to tell us about some amazing property there. Can you say mucho gusto? That's this Sunday at 10 a.m. Now heard from Big Sur to Eureka. Rock Rollin' Real Estate. Listen online at rockrollinrealestate.com. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, The Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. Join R.J. Moyer for his weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. James Pena is at the controls today. You'll know who to blame. And we continue our weekly briefing from Faz Shakir at the Progress Report of the Center for American Progress in Washington. You can get it for yourself free every day in your email. Just go to progressreport.org. And Faz, one thing that I forgot to mention regarding the Senate debate over the out-of-Iraq resolutions is that little Ricky Santorum of Pennsylvania shocked everyone yesterday and announced that he had found the weapons of mass destruction.
A really ridiculous claim, but, you know, you can see that the right is feeling very desperate, particularly Santorum, and needs to make some news and wants to proclaim some victory and progress. So what he did is came out with the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, Peter Hoekstra, and claimed that a newly declassified defense document shows that 500 chemical munitions tons were found in Iraq, and therefore we found the weapons of mass destruction. But we went back and took a look at the report that the administration put out in September of 2004. This was the Charles Dulfer report by the Iraq Survey Group. And, and what you find with when you look at that report is that they admitted that they had found some munitions that were, of course, lost prior to 1991. Saddam didn't even know he had them. They'd been sitting around. And they acknowledged that those were there, but that Iraq didn't have a chemical munitions program, didn't have a capacity to launch a chemical attack against anybody. So what they're trying to do is pull a stunt here and clearly try to fool the people into thinking that they found the weapons of mass destruction that we went to war over.
Yeah, yeah, just amazing how desperate they appear at this point.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I can imagine, you know, when President Bush did this, you know, it was a couple months after the war, he legitimately thought that there were weapons of mass destruction. But at this point, nobody really believes us there. And what he's trying to do is clearly deceive the American public. And hopefully, you know, we push him back into a loss, or hopefully this causes a great deal of loss to him and his campaign.
Let's talk next about your lead story at today's Progress Report, which is this little confrontation we're having with Kim Jong-il in North Korea right now. He wants to test a missile and appears to be using it as a way to try to get attention from Washington. And our diplomat, in quotes, John Bolton at the United Nations, has said, well, we can't reward this kind of behavior. And, of course, it also brings into focus the Star Wars missile defense system that was started by Ronald Reagan. We're now into it almost $100 billion. You cite a figure of $92 billion as the cumulative in the progress report today. And $10 billion is the annual appropriation for the Star Wars program. And you'd think they'd be licking their chops and saying, hey, come on, let me at Kim Jong-il's. What kind of missile is this? A Taipodong 2. Let's take down the Taipodong 2.
Well, what you're seeing here is they're doing kind of a little bit of what they did in the lead-up to the Iraq War, which is exaggerate the threat. I don't want to downplay what North Korea is doing, but, I mean, most experts across the board are going to tell you that North Korea does not yet have the capability to really pose any sort of danger to us when in fact, they tried to last test this missile. They couldn't even get it off the ground. And so here they're claiming that they're loading it up to launch towards Alaska, and I think that the administration is using this to try to hype the threat and talk about all of the problems that we saw as a result of the Iraq War, which is that they now want to launch this sort of preventive war, go in there first strike without thinking about what's going to happen on the day after, without thinking about whether the threat necessitates that sort of response, without thinking about what are North Korea's intentions. As you said, they want to get us to the negotiating table. The administration doesn't want to talk about that. Instead, its response is war. So I think this is going down a bad road. Hopefully it gets resolved soon.
And your senior vice president at the Center for American Progress, Joe Cirincione, who I've interviewed before, has a great quote here. The Bush administration has responded to a North Korean missile that doesn't work by activating an anti-missile system that doesn't work.
That is the kind of the irony here, is that if the administration had to rely on its missile defense program, we'd be in bad shape. You know, that's not the way we're going to defeat North Korea, because we've tried in the past, I think in the past 3 or 4 years, we've tried various tests and they've all failed, and we've spent $92 billion on this program and it's just not getting anywhere. So I don't think that, if that's what we had to rely on, it's not clearly not going to work. We'd have to go in with some sort of conventional force, I think.
And Faz, in the progress report, you put it into context that the annual $10 billion appropriation for the Star Wars missile defense system is more than the entire U.S. Army's R&D budget.
Yeah, and unfortunately, what I think this whole North Korean stunt is going to do is embolden those on the right to claim that we really need this missile defense program, and many of us on the left have been arguing that this is kind of an outmoded program that doesn't really address today's threats. North Korea is not nominally part of the war on terror that the administration talks about, and so we're spending all these billions and billions of dollars and neglecting all sorts of other priorities on a program that doesn't work and addressing a threat that isn't there.
And Faz, if you'll forgive me, on our program, we've been hearing too many network commercials, these things that we have no control over, for erectile dysfunction. And I just imagine the phallic image of this missile and Kim Jong-il, and I imagine, couldn't we just give him a lifetime supply of Viagra or Cialis or one of those drugs and see if that would take care of it?
It'd be an interesting tactic, you know. So I feel like hearing that's something that the Pentagon PSYOPs people are thinking about, you know.
Let's send Bob Dole to negotiate with Kim Jong-il.
somebody out there in Poindexter's group is thinking about things like this.
Kim, baby, I got a little blue pill for you. Come on over to the Watergate. We'll play poker and see what happens. And Faz, finally, what about the debate and negative vote yesterday in the Senate over the minimum wage increase? Isn't this a sop the Republicans could have given up this year? I mean, they've wasted so much money, given so much to the wealthy, and for 9 years now, no raise for minimum wage level employees.
I mean, it's really painful. They think that it's a political issue, and they're using it as a political football. They put out these alternative proposals to increase the minimum wage by a dollar or so, but tied it to these ridiculous state tax and abortion legislation, and clearly they were just trying to make it a political issue. I don't see how they can win in the end, because 83% of the American people, according to a recent Pew poll, say that they want the minimum wage raised to at least $7. So
even Governor Schwarzenegger knows it's a popular thing, and he's going to sign a minimum wage increase in here in California this year. Faz, thanks for joining us. Always a pleasure. Faz from the Progress Report.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family owned for 30 years, is where partnership works.
Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Post Graduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works. Hey, it's Sheila Gale from Reality Radio, just reminding you of our new time slot, 9 to 10 Saturday mornings on KRXA. We're your local progressive talk radio. We'll interview our homeless and our wealthiest, local celebrities, ordinary and extraordinary people. We keep it real here. So meet me Saturday morning right here, 9 to 10 on KRXA 540. I'm Sheila Gale, and together we're Reality Radio.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, O'Reilly! Oh.
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you could strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show. Hot enough for you, huh? Got my own personal global warming going on here. Coming up next hour, we're going to talk about the case of an Army First Lieutenant who served in Iraq and has refused to go back. His refusal came overnight as he was instructed to report for deployment. We'll talk with a family friend, Ann Wright, coming up next hour. And in this half hour, we want to get an update on the situation in Afghanistan, the nation that we invaded in the fall of 2001. And while the president never declared mission accomplished in Afghanistan, we moved on pretty quickly. We never committed huge forces there to the kind of scale of occupation that we have in Iraq presently.
And the situation has been highly fluid. There's actually been more activity, more violence in the past 6 months than many people had anticipated. And I heard an interesting item recently from a reporter in the field in Afghanistan that there have actually been more American bombing raids of Afghanistan over the past 5 months than we have done over Iraq. So the situation there continues to be very difficult. And we turn now to Asma Eshen. She is president of the organization that was founded in 1999 here in the U.S. called Afghans for Tomorrow. And they have a website with a lot of information on it at afghans4tomorrow.com. Asma, welcome to our program today.
Thank you very much for having me on your program.
Well, I'm pleased to talk with you, and want to let you know that there are no preconditions here, no expectations of exactly what your position should or should not be. I know that you position Afghans for Tomorrow as a non-political organization, but I just want you to know you're free to express yourself, and we don't impose political orthodoxy here on the program. First, I just wanted to ask about your own background, where you're from in Afghanistan, and how long it's been since you lived there.
Well, I was born in Kabul.
Mm-hmm.
And I came to America in 1971 when I was a teenager.
I see.
And I went to school, and my family live in Australia, so I grew up among Americans in Northern California.
Mm-hmm. And
but
would that be in the Fremont area? There are a lot
no,
of
I live in Marin County.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, the snob Marin County.
Uh-huh.
Sorry. And what happened is that after 9/11, I realized what's going on in Afghanistan, and my children are already grown. So I had decided to do something for the motherland, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to Afghanistan in right after 9/11.
I see.
With Global Exchange, a reality tour.
So you were there then before we began the military operations?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And why don't you give us a quick snapshot of that visit, because I think that's kind of an interesting baseline. Afghanistan has been through hell the last 30 years. There was, a lot of internal strife followed by the Soviet occupation, followed by kind of a chaotic situation that then was solidified under the Taliban. And then, of course, the United States arrived in the fall of 2001. But before we got there, what was the situation that was in the final days of the Taliban rule?
Yes, at that time, Afghanistan was forgotten by an international community because it had to do with the oil companies who wanted to bring the oil in Afghanistan from northern part of Afghanistan.
I'm sorry, we can't. The phone moved there, and we can't hear you there.
There we go.
That's better. Go right ahead.
Okay. So what happened is that, what happened in Afghanistan is that the Ancola Oil Company
mm-hmm.
wanted the oil pipeline.
You mean Unocal, right?
Unocal, yes.
Yes. So that is kind of the Ancola. I like that.
So what happened is that they had decided because Afghanistan was going through civil war, and they wanted to stop the civil war, and they wanted to bring peace, so they bring the pipeline. And this is documented in a book called The Taliban by Rashad, I believe. It's a wonderful book. It's done by a journalist from Pakistan, how Taliban comes to Afghanistan and why Taliban comes to Afghanistan. Because it was poured a lot of money by oil companies.
Mm-hmm.
So given that, Afghanistan was forgotten. And everybody was, the Russian came. They destroyed a lot of agriculture and trees and forestry. And then the Americans came and they poured money to defeat Red Army.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Reagan's politics.
Right. We supported the Mujahideen.
Mujahideen. Mm-hmm. But nobody remembers that Star Wars was very expensive at the time for the United States. And they used Afghanistan as a pawn to crash the Red Army,
mm-hmm.
Defeat it. And that's what happened, Then they all left. They left the money in Afghanistan, and they left the war, and they left the admission, and they opened the doors. All the 1 or 2% educated Afghans left Afghanistan, and it became a lawless land.
Yeah. Now, it's interesting because on your website, and again, I want to invite people to visit it, afghans4tomorrow.com. You're listed as the president and the director of agriculture.
Yes.
Now, we have seen over the last couple of years, there was a lull in 2003, but in 04 and 05, the cultivation of opium poppy has returned and actually gotten above the levels of, well, before the Taliban came in and started to clean it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Is your initiative to try to give Afghanistan's farmers crops to cultivate other than the opium poppy?
Yes. Our initiative is to plant trees. But plant trees, not just give trees to the people and walk away, but go with them, with the gardeners or people to people, plant trees on their farms and their homes and their hills. Because if you give somebody something that has no use to it, if you stay with them and do it together, that shows care.
Mm-hmm.
That you're working together, hands in hands, and building. And we did this last year, and we went back again to Kabul in, when I'm saying last year, 2005, the spring of 2005.
Okay.
And we went back in the spring of 2006, and we saw our trees were growing, and people were taking care of, I mean, the gardeners were taking care of it. And we have the gardeners, we will, we pay $50 for 10 gardeners to take care of the trees all over Kabul, except we planted 1,000 fruit trees in the areas called Istalif, which is 45 minutes drive from Kabul, north of Kabul.
Mm-hmm.
They took care of it themselves, and they, when we went back, they show us how they have taken care of these trees for us. For themselves, actually.
Now, Asma, on your visits to Afghanistan, what have been your impressions about the levels of security? It's often described that Hamid Karzai is a glorified mayor of Kabul and that his influence doesn't extend much beyond the capital, and that the warlord groups that we aligned with to try to eject the Taliban from Afghanistan are pretty clearly in charge of their respective areas.
That's very true. The warlord is a new word for tribesmen. Afghanistan was always tribesmen. I remember my grandfather's from north. I'm grandfather's from north, but if he wanted to go from like Mazar Sharif north to Kandahar, which is south, which is speaking Pashto,
mm-hmm.
you would have a mediator that will alliance with the north and south. Even in 1960s, you would have, as an Uzbek, you would have never driven straight to Kandahar.
I see.
Because he didn't speak their language and their culture a little different.
Mm-hmm.
Even during the Shah, we had that. So these warlords are these tribesmen that we all, because Afghanistan is a very tribal country and culture. And Afghanistan is the first century and stuck in the first century mentality. So you're talking about a country that after 30 years of war and destruction and people came and left and destroyed, and then all of a sudden you coming with a new government and you're asking people to trust me and don't trust these warlords that they were there to help you or feed your kids or whatever they did, whether they did it correctly or incorrectly, that's,
mm-hmm.
it's up to them to make the judgment, not us.
I understand.
But they were there. Ahmad Karzai lived in Washington. He was not part of that time of Afghanistan.
He was a highly paid consultant
exactly.
to UNICAL.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So those people, is not that they like him. They elected him. They want freedom for Afghanistan. But you can't ask northern Afghanistan or eastern or western, anyone outside of Kabul, to just jump in to him and bow down to his rules and regulation because it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Afghanistan always, you know, little small village always had a spokesperson for them.
Now, Asma, what about daily life in Afghanistan right now? Let's take Kabul, and then maybe we can talk about some of the provincial areas.
Sure.
But in Kabul, can a woman safely walk the streets without an abaya or a full covering?
We call it burqa.
Burqa or a chador.
Word. We call it chador,
yeah.
Yes. We were there. We saw many, many young women and older women feel very free.
Mm-hmm.
We asked them, and they said they feel free. And some of the men complained that there was too much of focus on women's rights and not enough for men. Hmm. You know, because they thought maybe they should kind of equalize both, and I agree with that. They work. We saw women in the offices working. We saw women in the shop in Kabul.
What about in schools?
In schools, yes. All the schools are, even in university, and the University of Kabul, they're building a beautiful new dormitory for women to come from outside of Kabul to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw a lot of students in the university. I think high percentage of them are young ladies.
Now, what about outside of Kabul, let's say Kandahar in the south?
Unfortunately, I went up down to Wardak only, as okay. far as the south. And Wardak was very, I saw, we have Afghans for tomorrow, we have a school in Wardak, and we had a student, teachers, but the teachers, even because I had a male counterpart with me, was wearing the chadar. They did not want to pull them. But going north, we went all the way to Anhui on April, and Anhui is above Mazar Sharif, northeast. Mm-hmm. It's very close to Uzbekistan. We saw a lot of women out there, but in Mazar Sharif, women, we saw a lot of women without chadar. But we saw, when we moved further away, we saw women with and without.
Mm-hmm.
Because wearing headscarf in Afghanistan, or I should say all Islam culture, it comes within the family.
Mm-hmm.
See, we have misunderstanding in Afghanistan, as I recall. The society could say anything they wanted, but if my parents or my family disagree with that law, they would have not allowed.
Right.
It's a very, family. It's
well,
what
and a paternalistic culture.
Yes,
the father is the figure who makes those decisions, right?
Yes. And if the father's not there, it's the older brother or uncle or... Or a grandfather. You know.
Asma, we're going to take a break and return in just a moment. Asma Eshen is our guest. She is president of Afghans for Tomorrow. Their website, afghans4tomorrow.com. And if you have a question or comment about the situation in that nation right now, give us a call, 831-899-5792 for the Central Coast. Or you can call me toll-free from anywhere in the continental U.S. That number is 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. It's 14 minutes before the hour, and you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Tom Hartman.
And Hans Blix was saying, there's no threat there. In a week and a half before we invaded, Hans Blix and Mohammed Al-Bar and I were going to submit a report to the UN saying, there's no evidence of weapons of mass destruction here. We have found the proof that they actually destroyed them. And Bush knew that. That's why he had to invade as quickly as he did.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
It's not a war. It's a crime. Invading another country is a crime. Just like when Hitler invaded Poland, this is a crime.
Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings, 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread. Try the scones, everything's a taste, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a pillar affair,
We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and we're getting an update on the situation in Afghanistan. If you have a question or comment, you can call us 831-899-5792 or toll free at 1-888-579-2540. Our guest is Asma Eshin. She is President and Director of Agriculture at Afghans for Tomorrow. Their website again, afghans4tomorrow.com. And Asma, tell me your sense of what the United States has done right in its invasion and partial occupation of Afghanistan, and what we've done wrong.
The right thing that we have done, the Army has a wonderful what's called PRT. They're going there doing rehabilitation, helping people build villages and helping waterways, and those are wonderful. People respect that, and they need that kind of work.
And we built a new road from Kabul to Kandahar,
and
didn't we?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, and the roads in Kabul and Kandahar, the roads, some of the roads in Kabul, the embassy in Afghanistan is huge. It's the biggest embassy of the United States in the world, I believe. It takes
That record is held by Baghdad now.
Is that what?
Yeah.
You know, that's what happens. Mm-hmm. And it's really sad to say, but the day that 9/11 happened, Afghans, not just Afghans in America, but all Afghans around the world, really thought that that was the beginning of hope for Afghanistan. Because Afghanistan was always allied and left America, because they helped them in the past during droughts and food. And as I remember as a child, bringing clothes and everything. And you always have to remember Afghanistan was always under United Nations, UNICEF and United Nations help. Mm-hmm. But what they did wrong is that they came and they did a band-aid job. They came and they left instead of finishing the work, which was finish the roads, finish all the roads, stay present, keep the troops as long as you need to, build as much as you need to build, we have to understand when they said we're giving in $20 million to Afghanistan, that doesn't mean $20 million goes to the civil society, that including military. So
let me clarify, because we allocated $20 billion for reconstruction in Iraq. As I recall, the amount for Afghanistan is paltry. It's a billion or two.
Exactly. But what that means that nobody think about the billion or two, that including daily expenses of the army being in Afghanistan, the other expenses comes with it. What is went wrong here is that if they wanted to allocate a specific for army, then they should have allocated for civil society to build schools or build clinics or build farms, whatever they need. It's not necessarily building, but teaching these people. These people has been through war, and not just Taliban, but the civil war and Taliban. They do not know how to paint their house. They don't even know basic how to garden, in a sense, you know, because they are psychologically damaged, and they have never learned to work with their hands because there was no work. Mm-hmm. So that's where the United States made a mistake. If they had stayed in the military, come in forcefully, should have the martial law plan that they had, all the many countries got together in Bonn right after 9/11 that summer, if you recall, 2001, 2002. Mm-hmm. But it didn't come across. It just came like patchy work.
Well, and Asma, I think your Band-Aid description is apt, mm-hmm. but let's be a little bit more critical here. The U.S., came into Afghanistan, and within 4 or 5 months, I mean, we launched this in October of 2001, and by March of 2002, we were starting to divert some of our troops and infrastructure people to get ready for the invasion of Iraq.
Exactly.
And we diverted, you know, money that was earmarked for Afghanistan into that pre-Iraq planning budget.
Yes.
And at the same time, we now know that it was intentional, that the U.S. came in and got out of Afghanistan as quickly as possible without committing large numbers of troops to an ongoing occupation. Mm-hmm. This was the model that was supposed to be used in Iraq as well, only we misjudged what was going to happen when we fired all the people in the army, and we misjudged the level of insurgency and many other factors that have led us to have to reconsider that plan. But the intention was to essentially parachute into these countries and get out as quickly as possible without having to take much responsibility for the reconstruction or the nation building that Bush in 2000 said that he has a dim view of. So what is your sense of, you know, what we should have done in Afghanistan? And in particular, you know, we never really made a determined effort to rout the Taliban.
We never did, no, no. The Taliban is very hard to get rid of because they're Afghans who grew up in Pakistan and they are coming back to their country. But what happened is that we made a mistake by not bringing education. You have to change mindset. If you cannot change mindset, you cannot change by force. We came by force without having other plans behind it. There was no other, there was no plan A, B, C that we're going to go forward. You know, we came in, we want to bomb some of the shags that were made out of clay and donkey, whatever you call it, mud house.
Mm-hmm. Dung?
Dung, yeah. Yes. That's not the case here. So we misjudged Afghanistan quite a bit, and now we're going back, and I hope it will work, but I don't think so because you're giving people much more power, repowering. Mm-hmm. Once you repower people, they learn. They learn your system, and then it's harder to go back and clean after yourself.
Asma, is the Karzai government democratic, in your opinion?
Democratic? No. Democracy comes in time.
Mm-hmm.
We can help. Democracy comes from inside out, not from outside.
Well, no. Could you tell that to a guy named George W. Bush?
Yeah, I would tell him. Democracy has to come from inside. Freedom comes from inside, not outside.
Oh, boy.
But we can help people, not brainwash them, give them tools to think for themselves and learn and educate them
mm-hmm.
to make a critical thinking.
I have at least 5 very wealthy listeners to this program. If they wanted to write a check to Afghans for Tomorrow, mm-hmm. what would you do with the money?
They can write a check and they can decide whether they want to plant trees. And if they can come with me, these wealthy people, and we plant trees and eat lunch with the gardeners. It's not one of those, the money does not go on your traveling expense. Everybody has mm-hmm. to pay their own travel expense to Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
The money goes right in Afghanistan to the gardeners, to the trees, to the food that you buy lunch for gardeners.
And how about the school in Wardak that is depicted on your website?
Yes, or they can give the money to the schools. We have 3 schools. One in Wardak, 2 in Kabul, and 1 we're building at Jaghori, which is north of Ghazni area, and that stopped. We're building mm-hmm. that with the future generation.
I see.
They can pay. They can put donate money on that. As a matter of fact, I just want to say that Jim Wilcox of University of Berkeley professor helped us build one of the schools in Kabul last year.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to give him credit for that and thanking him, and we have you know, he sees his pictures and stuff. We have students, boys and girls, and it's all year round.
Mm-hmm.
We take students who come as a refugees, the new refugees coming to Kabul.
I see.
We gave them enough education up to 6th grade so they can move on to public schools.
Mm-hmm. Asma, I want to thank you for joining us. I appreciate the work you're doing, and I know you love your country.
I'm a reborn Afghan.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
My nickname. Thank
nice
you very much
you.
For having me.
Again, the website, Afghans4tomorrow.com. Coming up next, we talk about the case of First Lieutenant Aaron Watata, who refused orders earlier today to redeploy to Iraq.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to three here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to three on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
We're going. Tom Hartman.
We have given our electoral process, the franchise by which democracy happens, the most vital part of the commons by which we administer the commons, we have privatized it. We have turned it over to private for-profit corporations.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
And they have no damn business telling us how we voted.
The new Radio Free America, Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
At what point would the Pentagon try to shoot down a North Korean missile?
At the president's direction.
A science panel heats up the debate on global warming.
Climate is warming due to human influences and will continue to do so in the future.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. As Russia and China joined the United States in warning North Korea against test firing its new missile, Defense Secretary Rumsfeld was asked today whether the U.S. military might try to shoot it down.
The president would make a decision with respect to the nature of the launch, whether it was threatening to the territory of the United States or not.
In fact, CBS News correspondent David Martin reports the president has already made a decision.
Orders have been issued to the fledgling missile defense system to be prepared to shoot down the North Korean missile if it is launched in a direction to land on American soil. That includes the Pacific island of Guam, site of a growing U.S. military base. Officials do not believe it will come to that, since intense surveillance of the launch site by satellites and aircraft indicates the missile's trajectory will bring it down harmlessly in the ocean.
Former Pentagon official Ashton Carter urges a preemptive strike while the missile's still on its launch pad.
That's a big, stationary, conspicuous, and very vulnerable target, and we could simply destroy it with one or two, for example, submarine-launched cruise missiles.
In a test of the U.S. missile defense system today, the Navy says it shot down a medium-range warhead more than 100 miles above the Pacific. The Bush administration has offered to join direct talks with Iran if the Tehran regime stops enriching uranium. Now, a senior Iranian official says his country would only halt uranium enrichment as a result of negotiations, not as a precondition for talks. Now this.
The following is a message from Pfizer.
Dr. Drew Pinsky here on a subject most guys would rather ignore, erectile dysfunction. Believe it or not, nearly half of all guys over 40, and some even younger, have ED. If your sex life leaves something to be desired, even part of the time, do something about it. To learn more about ED and how to treat it, talk to your doctor or visit JustAskToday.com. Do it for you and your partner.
Aflac for Small Business, how can I help you?
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an ant.
Okay.
I got a tunneling business, you dig?
How many employees?
Well, it's a family-run business, just me and my aunts.
Well, with Aflac for Small Business, you can enjoy a lot of the benefits of a big business.
Great.
Just call 1-800-99-AFLAC.
Did that.
Or go to AflacSB.com. Aflac for Small Business. Because small business needs...
Aflac!
Too.
Gotta run. Company picnic.
American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
The world is warming up, and a report today from a committee of the National Research Council supports the belief that greenhouse gases are largely responsible.
Committee scientists like Kurt Coffey say just about the time the internal combustion engine was invented, things started heating up.
Around 1900, warming began, and warming occurred markedly through the 20th century and on toward the present.
And committee chair Gerald North says it kept getting hotter.
It can be said with a high level of confidence that global mean surface temperature was higher during the last few decades of the 20th century than during any comparable period during the preceding four centuries.
The cause, the committee says, it's clear people played a role. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
Myron E. Bell of the Competitive Enterprise Institute wants to throw cold water on this global warming theory.
there isn't enough evidence to make a very strong case for it.
He says the 20th century only seemed warm because it was preceded by a little ice age, and claims the trend is already changing.
If you live in one particular place, it may be warmer where you live or cooler, but the global average temperature seemed to have peaked in 1998, and it's been going down slightly since then.
There's no argument that it's hot and dry in the Southwest right now, a recipe for wildfires. CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick went to the front line of a battle near Sedona, Arizona.
An air tanker moved in above this northernmost part of the fire and the most worrisome. While it spread retardant, firefighters worked on the ground.
Okay, yeah, that'll give us a few hundred feet there, at least.
They stay near the control lines, unable to climb into some of these steep canyons.
It's too much of a risk for our firefighters.
Fire officer Tony DeMaster says they're still holding their own, monitoring each movement of the flames and with each wind gust which direction those flames are heading. Cammie McCormick, CBS News, Oak Creek Canyon, Arizona.
In the Senate today,
on this vote, the yeas are 13, the nays are 86. And
Democratic proposals to at least start withdrawing troops from Iraq were soundly defeated. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
The following is a message from Pfizer.
Dr. Drew Pinsky here on a subject most guys would rather ignore, erectile dysfunction. Believe it or not, nearly half of all guys over 40, and some even younger, have ED. If your sex life leaves something to be desired, even part of the time, do something about it. To learn more about ED and how to treat it, talk to your doctor or visit justasktoday.com. Do it for you and your partner.
Top three reasons I'm going to need a professional installer. Number three, frankly, I'm all thumbs. Number two, they bring it, they put it in, it's done. And number one, you ever try to put in a garage door by yourself?
The Home Depot can get it installed, guaranteed, from top to bottom, inside and out, like that new garage door you've been wanting. Call 1-800-79-DEPOT. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. License numbers available at your local store or homedepot.com.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show coming up later this hour. Two new voices in the 9/11 truth movement, Don Paul and Jim Hoffman. Music of the moment is Elvis Costello. That's What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding. I want to dedicate that to an American hero. He's Army Officer Lieutenant Aaron Watata. He's a first lieutenant in the Striker Brigades. And in the early hours of today, he was ordered to deploy to an air base in Washington State. And he refused the order. Lieutenant Aaron Watata is the highest-ranking American service member to decline to accept an order to return to the battlefield in Iraq. And I commend him for his effort and fully support him. Joining us to talk about it is a friend of the Watata family and a woman I met at the Take Back America conference in Washington last week, retired Colonel Ann Wright. Welcome to our program, Colonel.
Well, thank you very much. It's good to be with you and talk with you again since Washington.
Yeah, nice to see you. And I noted at the time you handed me your business card, which I have right here, that you have a residence in Honolulu, and you told me you spent less than, I guess, 8 or 10 nights in your apartment there this year.
Well, that's right. I'm on the trail of working to end this war and trying to get a peaceful world, and so I'm all over the place in the United States. Anytime anybody needs a speaker for peace, I'm ready.
And your credentials are you retired from the Army as a colonel after some years of service, 20, is that right?
It was 29 years, and I retired actually from the reserves. I was 13 years on active duty and then 16 in the reserves.
Mm-hmm. And then you went into the Foreign Service.
Mm-hmm, that's right, 16 years there. And It was from the Foreign Service that I resigned in opposition to the war in Iraq back in March of 2003.
Mm-hmm. Well, I commend you for taking that step, and I thank you as someone who has served our nation not only for your service, but the service you're providing today, speaking up and offering your views on this misguided war in Iraq. Now, tell us a little bit about your connection with the family of Aaron Watata.
Well, we're all from Honolulu, and I did not know the Watatas before, but when I got in touch with the support group for Aaron, when I heard that he was planning on refusing to deploy, we've subsequently met here in the Seattle area this week, and they're like lifelong friends. They are very honorable people. In fact, Aaron's father, Bob Watata, he refused to go to Vietnam. He said, I'll go to the Peace Corps, but I'm not going to that army. And his mother, Carolyn Ho, a lovely, lovely lady, that they're all both standing solidly beside Aaron and his decision not to deploy to Iraq.
Mm-hmm. And you gave a talk at the University Lutheran Church in Seattle on Monday night. Tell us the argument you made that Lieutenant Watata has a right to disobey an illegal order, and why is an order to redeploy to Iraq illegal in your view?
Well, that was part of the press conference, actually, that that Aaron's mother and father participated in, and myself and one of the attorneys. And my my part of the presentation was that I definitely feel that the war in Iraq is an illegal war, that it is a war of aggression. It is a war that's perpetrated on a country that did nothing to the United States of America. It's a war of aggression, and therefore, by the definitions through the Nuremberg principles now codified in international law, it's a war crime. And so a military officer has the right, as a part of military tradition, the right to refuse what a person believes is an illegal order. And an order to go to an illegal war, in the lieutenant's opinion and my opinion too, is it's perfectly legal to disobey that order, because it's putting you into a war crime.
And in terms of Lieutenant Watata's refusal here, in citing this as an illegal order, that is distinctly different from claiming to be a conscientious objector, is it not?
That's correct. He has stated that there are times when he feels that it is appropriate for the use of military forces. He is objecting to this particular war. To be a conscientious objector, you need to be you need to object to all wars. So he has not tried to qualify at all for a conscientious objector, but is saying, I'm disobeying an illegal order.
Mm-hmm. And so far, what has been the reaction of his military superiors?
Well, as one would anticipate, his military superiors are they're in the business of maintaining good order and discipline in their military unit. And anytime anyone takes an action of disobeying an order for a military unit, that's really serious, heavy stuff. And the officers of his unit were very concerned that one of their lieutenants had said that he could not obey an order because it was illegal to go to this war, and yet they are the ones that are still saying, yes, it is, we have to go because we're being ordered by the Bush administration. So it's a very difficult position for them. If any of them had made a determination in their own mind that this was an illegal war, they too could stand up. I'm sure many of them think that this is not a war that America ought to be involved in, but they have not taken a stand because it is a very difficult position. It essentially ends your career, and if you're a captain, major, colonel, you would think very carefully about that. And we haven't had any lieutenant. Watata is the first officer that we've had that stood up and say, I will not deploy. There have been about 11 other military personnel who have stood up and have been court-martialed for refusing to either deploy for the first time or to return to Iraq. Mm-hmm. But Aaron is the first officer that's refused to go.
That's correct. We're talking with Colonel Ann Wright, retired from the United States Army, and she also resigned her career in the Foreign Service to protest the launch of the war in Iraq in 2003. And so Aaron has got to be a little concerned about his legal exposure here. Do you get a sense that he's worried?
Well, he certainly went into this with his eyes wide open, so to speak. He knew exactly what the probabilities are that the military will court-martial them and that it will be a very difficult decision should the military court say to the administration, this is a war crime, this is an illegal war, and the lieutenant was correct. So he knows he's fighting a very difficult battle within the military structure. But on the other side of it, he has to live with himself the rest of his life. And if he firmly believes that this is an act of conscience, an act of principle, and he's willing to take the consequences to really save his soul, so he will not be having to participate in what he feels is an illegal action of the United States of America.
I want to direct our listeners to a website, thankyoult.org. Just run it all together, thankyoult.org, and it details the situation there. And we'll talk in our next segment about a day of action coming up on Tuesday, June 27th. But, Ann, I just am clicking on the link here from the home page. It says the military has already launched an investigation, and this dates back to June 8th when Lieutenant Watada's commanding officer moved to prosecute the lieutenant for protected speech. And he was read his rights. He declined to make a statement without a lawyer at that time. In response, he said, I have a legal and ethical obligation to speak out against and refuse to fight this patently illegal war in Iraq. That has not changed. So is that investigation moving forward, or will it shift now that he has formally refused an assignment?
I think it will shift, although I'm not for sure. Apparently a deal was struck that he was not to speak out during duty hours, but he was able to speak after duty. And, in fact, he was with us on Monday night at the press conference. So I suspect that investigation will be subsumed by this larger issue of refusal to deploy.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break and then return. My guest is Colonel Ann Wright, retired from the U.S. Army, and as we mentioned, she served 16 years in the Foreign Service as well. We're talking about the case of First Lieutenant Aaron K. Watada. He spells his first name a little differently. It's E-H-R-E-N. And if you Google that name, Aaron Watada, you'll get more information. You can also go to this website, thankyoult.org. And when we return, we'll talk about this day of action coming up as you can express solidarity next week with Lieutenant Watada. That's ahead, straight ahead, here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the Concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com.
This week on Rock Rollin' Real Estate, don't miss our special guest, Glenn Plantone. He'll be telling us about the hottest areas to invest in. Glenn has just returned from his second trip to Costa Rica to tell us about some amazing property there. Can you say mucho gusto? That's this Sunday at 10 a.m. Now heard from Big Sur to Eureka, Rock Rollin' Real Estate. Listen online at rockrollinrealestate.com. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic on this sizzling Thursday afternoon. We get the latest from Metro Diane.
We have an accident in Monterey. It's northbound Highway 1 at Del Monte Boulevard. Two vehicles involved in that one. The CHP is en route to help clear that one out. Also have a tree down in San Juan Bautista, westbound Highway 129 at 101. Trees actually are blocking the westbound lane. And in San Benito County, southbound 101 at Cole Road, beware of a truck actually driving through and spilling some sort of unknown liquid in the roadway, so the lanes might be a little slippery, so watch out for that. And reports of a hit-and-run accident in the Santa Cruz Mountains, southbound 17 before Laurel Curve. This report is brought to you by National University. Think only vampires get things accomplished at night. From earn a BBA in intensive evening courses at National University. Visit the San Jose Academic Center today or call 1-800-NATUNIV. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show as we salute Army Lieutenant Aaron Watada. I guess it does kind of bring back the 60s a little bit, man. That's Country Joe McDonald and the sanitized version of the Fish Cheer. What are we fighting for? That was quite a theme song back in the 1960s when people were resisting the Vietnam War. We're talking about the case of First Lieutenant Aaron K. Watada. He refused orders earlier today to redeploy to Iraq. He served one tour there, and upon his return, he thought about it. And felt that in his mind, this is an immoral war, and an order to return is an illegal order that he does not have to obey. I certainly agree that it's an immoral war, and I hope that his courageous stand here is sustained as he goes through the court-martial process. We're talking with Colonel Ann Wright. She retired from the U.S. Army and is an advocate for Lieutenant Watada, and is there on the scene in Seattle, where these events have been unfolding over the last few weeks. And I pulled up the website here, and I'm going to try to see if this will play. This is a video statement from Lieutenant Watada to people like us. Let's listen to a little bit here.
Hello, my name is Lieutenant Aaron Watada. I am a commissioned officer in the United States Army, and I would like to take the opportunity to speak to you about what I believe and why I've taken the actions that I've taken. I joined the military in March 2003, which was the invasion of Iraq, which is around that time, because I felt a strong pull of patriotism and duty and a willingness to serve my country. And like millions of Americans, I believed the administration when they guaranteed that Saddam had weapons of mass destruction and had the willingness to use it against his neighbors and also the U.S. And I believed the administration when they said that Iraq had ties to Al-Qaeda and 9/11. Since then, I have found those premises to be false. I have come to the conclusion that the decision I made was necessary because I have watched the pain and the suffering of so many soldiers and families of soldiers and innocent Iraqis and people all around the world for what I feel is a deception and a betrayal of the trust of the American people.
And the troops.
As it is my duty as a commissioned officer of the armed forces, I cannot participate in anything that is illegal. It is an issue that concerns all of us as Americans. And the focus that we should be having is on the unlawfulness of the war. And should we be forcing members of the military to participate in these crimes?
Very powerful statement, and you can watch it for yourself. It's a streaming video at the website thankyoult.org, thankyoulieutenant.org. And that's a very powerful message, and I get a sense of deep sincerity on the part of Lieutenant Watata.
Well, it certainly is a very serious concern that he expresses, which is the expression on behalf of over 70% of the people of America now. He's just expressing what Americans have slowly come to the realization that we have been lied to. The administration has put in a war of lies. In fact, a lot of people are now saying, you know, the term AWOL, going absent without leave, actually, that's against the war of lies. That's what people are doing when they're going AWOL. They're saying, I'm not about to get killed or kill anybody else on this war of lies. And the lieutenant, in a very noble thing, I mean, he could have gone to Canada, he could have done any number of things, but he is standing tall saying, I want this to come to a head. I will refuse to go, and I would like to have this adjudicated in a court of law, whether or not this is an illegal war.
And, Colonel, so with your years of service, 16 active, 13 in the reserves, as you told us, is there a conflict in you? Because, I mean, one of the fundamentals is that you never desert your brothers and sisters, your unit, and, you know, your branch of service in general. Do you feel conflicted about this, or is it just clear-cut that this is so wrong, and as the lieutenant cited, the lies that led us into this war are now so clearly just that, lies? Is it clearly justified in your view, or does it take you some work to get there?
Well, it's, you know, if you've been in a part of an institution like the military for 29 years like I have, yeah, it does take a little bit of a step back and let's just see what this is all about. And I would say, rather than saying deserting his troops, what he's doing is resisting illegal orders, in his opinion. And one can say, well, if you leave your troops, that's not right. But on the other hand, if you're leading your troops into something that you truly feel is a criminal act, that's not right either. Mm-hmm. And so he's standing up, and in the most difficult of organizations, it is not easy in the U.S. military to stand up to the war machine to say, stop, I am not going to participate because what you guys have been ordered to do is wrong, it's illegal, and you, the senior leaders, you, the generals, failed us. You didn't stop. You didn't tell this administration, hey, look at the law and all this. Mm-hmm. You guys are ordering us to go to an illegal war. The Brits, who also are participating, at least there through the Downing Street memos, we know that all of their senior leaders, the head of their equivalent to the CIA, the MI5, their foreign minister, their ambassador to the U.S., their defense minister, all in the Downing Street memos were saying, hey, we've got to fix the intelligence. We've got to fix this in order to make it legal. Mm-hmm. And, in fact, a colleague of mine who was in the British Diplomatic Corps, the Deputy Legal Counsel of the British Foreign Service, resigned also in March of 2003. And in her resignation letter, she says, going to war in Iraq under these circumstances will be a war of aggression, a war crime. And she resigned over it, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank you for your principled stand, and please convey to Lieutenant Watata our firm support for him. There is a day of action next Tuesday, June 27th. Get more information about it at the website thankyoult.org. That's thankyoult.org. We've been talking with retired Army Colonel Ann Wright. Thank you, Ann.
Thank you, Peter. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Coming up next, we take another look at 9/11 with Truth Seekers Don Paul and Jim Hoffman. They'll tell you about a video and a premiere coming up this Sunday. I'm Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey has everything you need, from high-end liquor to the very best in fine wines. It's the real deal. Family-owned for over 40 years, John will give you one-on-one personal attention, just like family. Have a special request? Not a problem. Open every day from 9 to 9. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is located on Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village, near the Del Monte Center. Look for Doug Huckleberry, who greets you at the door. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits wants you to please drink responsibly.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay Area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyer, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Hi, I'm Joan Kenley with Talking Matters. This Saturday at 3 on KRXA 540, we have a timely show about using and growing your intuition. World-famous author Sharon Frankamont and her daughter Megan will tell you just how to expand the way you intuit your life. This conversation and the good ideas will touch your mind, body, heart, and soul. Willis Harmon of Noetic Sciences said, "Intuition invites us into the center of our lives. Our show will invite you to go to your center. Hear Sharon's four simple steps for developing your intuition, and the way Megan uses physical and emotional intuitive clues to make important decisions. Keep listening. We'll keep talking. My shows are archived on joankenley.com. That's K-E-N-L-E-Y. Don't miss our program on Using and Growing Your Intuition on Talking Matters this Saturday at 3.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. We're going to open up the phones for the Free Speech Zone next hour all the way through. Right now, we're going to pursue the nagging doubts that linger about the myths we've been told about what really occurred on September 11th of 2001. And if you've seen Loose Change, we've talked about it here on the program, you know that there is significant physical evidence that directly contradicts the theories and the stories we've been told about what occurred on September 11th. There's a new DVD out, and we're going to, I'm going to be co-hosting with Kevin Danaher of Global Exchange, a screening coming up this Sunday night at the Lark Theater in Larkspur. That's in Marin County here in the Bay Area. And this is going to be a very interesting event because the two filmmakers will be present, Jim Hoffman and Don Paul. We're going to talk to Jim first, and his piece focuses on how the buildings came down. And, Jim, I want to welcome you to the program and thank you for devoting so much of your time and energy to trying to get answers to these lingering and murky questions.
Well, thank you. It's good to be on your program.
Well, and I'm looking forward to meeting you on Sunday. I've had a chance to watch the DVD a couple of times now. And first up, I have to say that you guys produced and distributed your DVD, which is based on a presentation of PowerPoint, long before Al Gore got the idea to put his movie out, right? And it is a compelling presentation that you and Don Paul make. Yours is focused on the physical evidence, and you're a software engineer. Have you studied physics and engineering as well, or is that something
Yeah, I've studied it. I don't have degrees in engineering, but I'm a software engineer by profession for 20 years, more than 20 years, and have some experience in combustion engineering, owner of some patents. So I'm a generalist, but one thing I like to point out in examining the alleged collapses of the Twin Towers in Building 7 is that you don't have to be an expert or an engineer or even a scientist to see what happened, to evaluate these events, and to understand that the official story is false. It's a myth that it requires some specialized expertise to understand what happened to these buildings. There's a number of things that can be pointed out that all you really need is a grasp of common sense to understand that these buildings didn't simply fall down due to gravity, but were, in the case of the Twin Towers, blown up, and in the case of Building 7, the third skyscraper totally destroyed on 9/11/01, imploded in a manner very similar to a conventional demolition implosion.
Well, I agree. I'm certainly not an expert in any of these areas, but just as a keen observer and somebody who pays attention to what I hear and see, when you examine these, in particular the World Trade Center buildings and the manner in which they came down, it just doesn't make sense because the theory that the firestorm caused by the jet fuel as the planes collided with the top of the towers, that was sufficient to cause a total meltdown of these steel and concrete structures, just defies logic. And, help me out with this, Jim. My theory is that at some point, the structure should have taken hold, and whatever occurred on the top should have ebbed, if not stopped, somewhere before it got to the bottom of the tower.
Exactly. I think that's the single most important point to point out is that it doesn't make any sense that the very tops of these buildings could just crush the buildings from top to bottom all the way down at near the speed of free fall and just thoroughly, not just thoroughly crush these buildings, but pulverize all the non-metallic elements of these buildings just into fine powder, just shred the steel skeletons of these buildings. Everybody has experience with natural processes like things toppling, like if you saw down a tree or if there's an explosion in some structure, it doesn't just fall straight down into itself and completely destroy itself. So it's completely counterintuitive that, the basic premise of the official story runs completely contrary to the thing that what people just intuitively understand about natural processes, that they don't follow the path of maximum resistance, which is what would have had to have happened, barring demolition, for the tops of these towers to just completely destroy all the structure below the crash zones just so thoroughly. It just defies common sense because natural processes evolve towards asymmetry, they follow the path of least resistance. So that all that intact building structure, which gets stronger and stronger as you go down the building, the steel gets thicker and thicker in all the columns as you go down the axis of the building, that would have deflected any kind, if there could have been any kind of collapse event, it would have deflected it to one side or the other. The only explanation for the symmetry of these events, for the systematic way that the buildings were destroyed from top to bottom, all the way down, thoroughly pulverized, is some form of demolition, some involvement presumably of explosives that ripped these buildings apart in a systematic way.
And Jim, when arson investigators go looking at what caused a suspicious fire, they look for what they call accelerants, you know, like gasoline.
Mm-hmm.
And your argument is, and I think it's a compelling one, that these huge towers and structures could not have come down without some sort of help, assistance through demolition or other munitions that were pre-planted in the building. This is not something that could have occurred in the moments after the plane struck.
Yeah, exactly, and for a whole number of reasons. I mean, the official story doesn't make sense in how these alleged collapse started, but they certainly don't make sense in how this destruction could have proceeded all the way down the building and been so explosive. I mean, it's really not a correct description to say that the Twin Towers collapsed. Collapsed connotes a process in which something falls in on itself. Look, I really can't emphasize too strongly how important it is for people to go to the web, go to WTC7.net, and look at the photographs and videos of these buildings coming down, because I don't think it's you can really describe them in any other way than as explosions. The Twin Towers exploded out, you know, so far that these exploding dust clouds were a diameter of about 800 feet. They were like these radially expanding dust clouds that just consumed the buildings from top to bottom. By the time they reached the ground, they were 800 feet in diameter, two-thirds as wide as the buildings were high.
And you're talking about the projectiles that came out horizontally from the towers in advance of the debris field that was falling from above.
Yeah, if you look at the way these towers exploded, there's these just consuming exploding dust clouds. But at the frontier of these dust clouds are big chunks of steel and, you know, big chunks of the steel frames of these buildings just being catapulted out along horizontal trajectories with so much energy that lots of them were thrown as far as 400 or 500 feet in all directions radially from the towers. So if you looked at some of the surrounding buildings, like the Bankers Trust building to the south of the South Tower and One World Financial Center to the west, they had pieces of the skeletons of the towers embedded in them, you know, just like
shrapnel.
Just like shrapnel. Like mm-hmm. There was so much explosive force that these were embedded in these other buildings, as you know, 200-300 feet up in the building, and just little pieces of pieces no more than say 50 feet long, that were just blown out in all directions. It just completely defies common sense that any kind of collapse process could have had that much, could have catapulted all this mass with so much lateral energy in all directions.
We're talking with Jim Hoffman, who co-stars in this powerful new documentary, 9/11 Guilt, The Proof is in Your Hands, premiere showing in Northern California at the Lark Theater in Larkspur, coming up this Sunday evening, and I'll be there along with Kevin Danaher and Jim and his co-presenter, Don Paul, in the documentary that we're talking about. Let's take a call here. Dave from Humboldt, welcome. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Jim Hoffman.
I have so many questions, but just simply, what kind of psychopaths caused this kind of devastation to us, and how did they get into the White House?
Well, that's a really good question. Occupying the White House, I think Don will talk more about that, and he does in the film, about how that the president is probably a minor player, and I'm not convinced that he was really in on the loop. As far as the pathology of this event, I mean, I think that's one of the hardest things that people have. One of the biggest barriers that people have to understanding that 9/11 was an inside job is the depravity that was required to plan and carry out this event. It's so far from normal people's experience that anybody, especially the people in power over them, could actually carry out this event. But if you look at historical context, if you look at the way that in most wars, there's usually some predicating event that is often a false flag operation, a fraudulent, an attack of some sort that is blamed on a third party so that the war can be started. It falls into a long pattern. It also falls into a long pattern of U.S. Covert operations where, there's just a long history of this, Gulf of Tonkin incident. There's very compelling evidence that there was foreknowledge of the attack on Pearl Harbor. And there's just a whole number of precedents, even more recently than that. So
Northwoods during the face-off with Cuba, and more recently Bush speculating to Tony Blair, hey, you know, we need a little more cause for this attack on Iraq. Why don't we repaint a plane with United Nations colors and shoot it down and blame the Iraqis?
Yeah. So that kind of thinking is
certainly it occurs. And it really is difficult, Jim, when I talk to skeptics. And I always start off with Building 7, because I think that is the clearest area of doubt. It had nothing to do with the planes hitting, and it came down so mysteriously. But, you know, the other area of doubt that people raise with me is, okay, let's say this occurred. As you point out in your commentary in the film, it took 4 months to wire the Hudson Building in Detroit, the old landmark department store that they demolished in the 1990s. It took 4 months to pre-wire and pre-place the explosives in order to bring that building down essentially within its own footprint. So if that's the case, how long did it take to pre-wire and pre-munition the two towers and Building 7? And why is it that not one person who was involved with that has come forward and said, I can't keep quiet anymore, this is just too ugly, and somebody's got to tell the truth?
That's a great question. Now, I'd like to point out that we're to speculate about how this operation was carried out and exactly how the buildings were wired and so forth is entering into the realm of speculation, in which there are all kinds of possible scenarios, and including ones that only might vaguely resemble the way that conventional demolitions are carried out. Now, in the case of the Hudson Building, that several-month figure also includes just the planning. The actual emplacement of the explosives and so forth was a matter of weeks before the event. But in any case, what is clear is that all three buildings had to be prepared in advance. There's no way that it could have been done on the spot. There's a fallback story that they intentionally demolished Building 7 because there was so much damage and they wanted to save lives, bring the building down into its footprint. Now, that's just ludicrous, because any kind of operation like that would have had to have been planned long in advance. Now, what I like to point out is, in the case of the Twin Towers, and probably in Building 7 too, I think that they probably used a higher-tech version of demolition than they use in conventional ones. In conventional ones, they drill all these access points to put explosives right next to columns all the way around the building, and there's a lot of columns in those buildings. In the case of the Twin Towers particularly, where there's 240 perimeter columns and 47 interior columns, and usually they rig those on multiple levels, and then the demolition has to be carried out with precise timing in order to bring the building down vertically. Mm-hmm. What I think, though, is that it was probably a completely wireless operation, because one thing that would make it a lot harder to do without being detected would be if they had all these cords going through. I don't think they did it like that at all.
Okay.
I can understand
that. You can use cell phones for that sort of thing today.
Yeah, very.
But still, humans had to participate in this, and no human has come forward and said, I have remorse for being a part of this devastating activity.
Well, one possibility is that the people who did this job did it under a false pretext. They were told some other cover story about it.
They could be dead.
That's right.
Yeah. Jim, I've got to move to a break here. So why don't you hold on a second, and I'll let you complete your thoughts. And then after the break, we're going to talk to your colleague Don Paul about his elements in this powerful new documentary that we'll be screening at the Lark Theater in Larkspur. That's in Marin County, coming up this Sunday night. Join us if you can, and we'll have a little more information on that as we continue. And we'll be joined by Don Paul as well. If you have a question or comment, join us toll-free, 888-579-2540. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I'll bring you personalities and interesting topics from the world of food, wine, and travel. Guests on the Tasty Planet have included wine experts, restaurateurs, famous chefs, and others that have made the Monterey Bay region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored by the Monterey Salinas Transit's Grapevine Express. The Grapevine Express runs weekends from the Aquarium to Carmel Valley. For more information, call toll-free 888-678-2781 or visit the web at mst.org.
Tom Hartman.
We have given our electoral process, the franchise by which democracy happens, the most vital part of the commons by which we administer the commons, we have privatized it. We have turned it over to private for-profit corporations.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
And they have no damn business telling us how we voted.
The new Radio Free America, Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
KRXA 540, taking a look at your traffic on this Thursday afternoon. Here's Metro Diane.
To start in Salinas, Blanco Road at Armstrong Road reports of several pieces of 2x4s in the lane, so watch out for that. Still working on clearing up a two-vehicle accident in Monterey. It's northbound Highway 1 at Del Monte Boulevard. And a couple of incidents in the Santa Cruz Mountains. SoCal San Jose Road at Summit Road, a large branch partially blocking the roadway. Crews are en route for that. And also in the Santa Cruz Mounds, southbound 17 before Laurel Curve, we have reports of a hit-and-run accident. So CHPM seems to take a report for the victim vehicle there. Also going to see slow traffic southbound 17 from Camden Avenue and Campbell to the summit in the Santa Cruz Mounds. This report is brought to you by Orkin Pest Control. Subterranean termites live underground. They just visit your house for takeout. Don't worry, the Orkin Man's been fighting invasions for over 100 years. For free inspection, call 1-800-ORKIN-MAN today. I'm dying with traffic on KRXA 540.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and our theme music this moment is from Bob Geldof and the Boomtown Rats. It's called Whitehall 1212, which is the number you dial in London when you want to reach Scotland Yard. We continue now with Jim Hoffman. He is the co-producer and contributor to the film 9/11 Guilt, The Proof is in Your Hands. I think it's still Jim.
That's right.
We're going to go to Don in just a second. Right, Jim?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Good. And this is going to be screened this Sunday night at the Lark Theater in Larkspur in Marin County. The one thing I don't know is the screening time, Jim.
The event starts at 7.
7, okay. Well, then I'm going to be there at 7.
Uh-huh.
And I'm looking forward to it. Kevin Danaher will be there. And I wanted to give you a chance just to complete your thought. And one comment I'll add first, that is that in trying to establish that we've been told myths and lies about what occurred on 9/11 of 2001, there is no obligation, or in my view, you don't have an onus to prove what actually did happen, because there's so many layers of deception that, you know, you may not be able to ever penetrate that. But proving that what we've been told is false is a far different endeavor.
Exactly. And that's what I do on my websites, is go through and deconstruct the official explanations of the collapses. But you can also prove what happened in a general way. Like, I have a whole number of arguments that I believe are conclusive proofs that the buildings were brought down through demolition of some sort, not without specifying exactly how it was carried out. But the thought that I wanted to complete was that discussing how could this such a complex operation have been prepared without anybody finding out or anybody talking, and, you know, perhaps some of the people were killed involved in it. But what I like to point out is that just looking at the way that the towers could have been prepared, I think that operation could have been accomplished with a very small number of people, just maybe two or three people even, just over time, and doing it in such a way that they only had to have access to the parts of the building that were completely controlled and were not in the tenant spaces. I suspect that the Twin Towers were taken down without access to the tenant spaces and only with access to the core structure of the building.
Yeah.
Could have been done very, very easily without any detection.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a fairly big topic about how covert operations work, how they're compartmentalized. That's another really important fact to understand, is that is that it's like a military operation when each person is assigned a very small piece of the operation, and they are only informed on a need-to-know basis, so they don't understand the whole picture. And even and when the event finally goes off, they might be shocked to find out, oh, this is much bigger than I didn't realize it was going to be like this. And there's all kinds of reasons that they wouldn't want to talk, you know,
right.
even if they were still alive.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a really important thing to understand, that there's the conspiracy is vast in the sense that there are thousands of people that participated in the cover-up of it, but the operational conspiracy of actually preparing the operation, actually executing the operation, is an entirely different matter, and I think was performed in the manner of covert military operations with a very small number of people.
Well, Jim, I want to thank you. I look forward to meeting you on Sunday. I want to reference your website, WTC7.net, which is where people can get much more information and get steeped in your research. They can also pick up the book, Waking Up from Our Nightmare, the 9/11 Crimes in New York City.
So, thank you for those recommendations.
Okay, and if you can flip the phone over to Don Paul. He co-authored the book, Waking Up from Our Nightmare, and also contributed to the video that we'll be screening on Sunday. Don, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. Nice to talk with you.
Thank you, Peter. I'm glad you'll be there along with Kevin Danaher. That should be a really rich exchange.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. And you have advanced the story here in a significant way because you name names of
mm-hmm.
people who you suggest are complicit, at least in the outcome of the demolition of these three properties in New York City. Give
yes.
us a quick sketch about what the status of these buildings were and what kind of business motives the owners might have had for either wishing or arranging for the buildings to come down in the manner they did.
Mm. Well, it goes from specific New York real estate into the most global and kind of multi-layered aspects of the corporate economy. Immediately, there was the insurance payout for the destruction of the World Trade Center complex. Your listeners might know that the complex changed hands just 7 weeks before 9/11/01.
That's right, and the insurance was changed as well.
Right, to include a clause that gave the head of the group that purchased the Twin Towers and WTC 4 and 5 and about 400,000 square feet of retail, an automatic payout of $1.5 billion if the property was destroyed by a terrorist incident,
mm-hmm.
which, of course, gave him a lot of leverage in the subsequent negotiation because he could just walk away with $1.5 billion, you know, if he didn't get things his way.
And the total payout to date that we can account for?
Well, it changes from one court ruling to the next, but at least $4.8 billion, according to the last court ruling, which is $1.6 billion more than was the total to be paid over a 99-year lease.
Mm-hmm.
To give some background information, the World Trade Center was administered by the New York Port Authority, a New York State agency that is widely believed to be controlled by the Rockefeller family. It certainly was at the time the World Trade Center buildings were erected in the 1960s when Nelson Rockefeller was the governor of New York and his brother David was the main engine behind the construction of the World Trade Center complex at the same
mm-hmm.
time he was head of the Chase Bank and head of the Council on Foreign Relations.
And I don't mean to rush you here, but we only have about a minute and a half remaining.
Yeah.
You do, in a format of making a prosecutor's presentation to a citizen's grand jury, essentially indict Larry Silverstein, Pete Peterson, David Rockefeller, and as perhaps lower-level players, Dick Cheney and George Bush.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and in the presentation in the DVD, 9/11 Guilt, the proof is in your hands, we get into, you know, the things that most people know in terms of the weapons makers and the oil corporations, giant boosts in profits after 9/11 due to the invasions of Afghanistan and especially Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
But we also get into, I think, the most interesting element and the one that most calls upon us to action, and that is opium in Afghanistan, which translates into a global heroin trade, which provides $180 billion to the world's illegal economy and about 20 times that amount to the world's legal economy through your local bank and national stock exchanges mm-hmm. and the most giant corporations.
Well, Don, I'm looking forward to hearing more on Sunday. I think it's a powerful presentation that you and Jim Hoffman make in this DVD. And people can go online to 911guilt.wtc.net to get more information. And can you order a DVD from there?
You can do it there. We just skip to my site at wireonfire.net. You can also get the book that Jim and I did earlier, Waking Up from Our Nightmare, the 9/11 Crimes in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
all right,
really
that's
good.
Sunday night at the Lark Theater in Larkspur in Marin County. I'm looking forward to meeting you and Jim.
All right, Peter.
We'll be co-presenting with Kevin Danaher of Global Exchange. Look forward to seeing you then.
Wonderful, Peter. Thank you.
And it starts at 7 o'clock. I hope you can join us. Coming up next, it's the Free Speech Zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The Bush administration says North Korea's preparations to test a new missile are very far along. If the North Koreans ignore all the warnings and launch, CBS News correspondent David Martin reports the U.S. missile defense system will be prepared to shoot it down.
The Secretary of Defense said today that the president would make that decision based on whether the missile was going to be a threat to American territory. He said territory as opposed to the United States because Guam, where the U.S. has a sizable military base, is also included as territory that would be protected if a launch threatened it.
China and Russia today joined the United States in urging North Korea to stand down. Breaking news from Miami. CBS television station WFOR reports the FBI has arrested several domestic terrorism suspects at a low-income housing project. No weapons or bomb-making materials were found, but the suspects allegedly were involved in planning terrorist activity. Global warming is our fault. That's what a committee of the National Academy of Sciences told Congress today, saying human activity is responsible for much of the warming since the early 1900s. But Myron Ebell of the Competitive Enterprise Institute says it's all a matter of perspective.
The committee was pretty clear that the 20th century is warmer than the 17th, 18th, or 19th centuries. But that's nothing new because everybody knows that we've been coming out of a little ice age.
Since 1998, he says average temperatures worldwide have actually declined slightly. The big wildfire continues to burn near Sedona, Arizona. Today, big tanker planes joined the battle, dumping fire retardant on the flames. Scenic Oak Creek Canyon with 460 homes and businesses remains evacuated. In northern Ohio, a second wave of severe storms brought torrential rain and flooding.
We've never seen anything like this.
Her basement in Norwalk was swamped. The water was so deep in Toledo that some major roads had to be closed. In Wellington, Ohio, a firefighter drowned trying to rescue two teenagers whose vehicle got stuck in an overflowing river. Musician Charles Smith has died at the age of 57. Who was Charles Smith? He was the co-founder and lead guitarist for Kool & the Gang. With Robert Cool Bell, Smith co-wrote the group's signature song. They also collaborated on Jungle Boogie and other hits. Smith's publicist says he died after a long illness that forced him to stop touring in January. Down and out, the U.S. team went down to defeat at the hands, or more accurately, the feet of Ghana today. The 2-1 loss put the Americans out of contention at the World Cup soccer tournament. The Dow lost 60 points today. The Nasdaq declined 18 points. This is CBS News.
Hello, would you like to be more successful with the opposite sex? I'm Ted Baker, and my program can teach you how to attract a mate. Listen to this.
Ted told me about logging on to freecreditreport.com. I learned that my good credit could help me buy a car and a boat, and now chicks dig me.
My patented system could work for you, too. Log on to freecreditreport.com to get your free credit score and report. A nice condo could make you irresistible.
Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at freecreditreport.com. Get the score.
Did you wake up this morning hoping today you'd finally meet the one? Well, then there's something you should know. Last year alone, hundreds of thousands of people found a fabulous relationship on Match.com. So is online dating for you? Now, Match.com has created a new starter kit so you can find out. And for a limited time, it's free for everyone who visits Match.com. Today could be the day. Check out our new starter kit. Yours free. Only at Match.com, the number one site for love.
Did Mona Lisa have a twin sister? CBS News correspondent Harley Carnes has the story of a painting that's very similar to Leonardo da Vinci's famous work.
La Gioconda, now on display at the Portland Museum of Art in Maine. She looks like the Mona Lisa. The background has a little less detail. She sits slightly differently, smiles a little less, but it is the same woman. And this painting is from the same era, 1505-ish. Though whether it was done by Leonardo da Vinci as a preparatory study for the Mona Lisa, as some believe, or by one of his followers or students, cannot be known. Perhaps her name was Mona Lisa Gioconda. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Where did the ice cream sundae originate? The town of Two Rivers, Wisconsin, says Edward Berners served up the first concoction of ice cream and chocolate sauce in 1881. But people in Ithaca, New York, claim drugstore owner Chester Platt introduced the sundae in 1892, and they have a newspaper ad to prove it. Bill Whitney, CBS News.
The following is a message from Pfizer.
Dr. Drew Pinsky here on a subject most guys would rather ignore. Erectile dysfunction. Believe it or not, nearly half of all guys over 40, and some even younger, have ED. If your sex life leaves something to be desired, even part of the time, do something about it. To learn more about ED and how to treat it, talk to your doctor or visit justasktoday.com. Do it for you and your partner.
Aflac for Small Business, how can I help you?
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an ant.
Okay.
I got a tunneling business. You dig?
How many employees?
Well, it's a family-run business. Just me and my aunt.
Well, with Aflac for Small Business, you can enjoy a lot of the benefits of a big business.
Great.
Just call 1-800-99-AFLAC.
Did that.
Or go to aflacsb.com. Aflac for Small Business. Because small business needs...
Aflac!
Too.
Gotta run. Company picnic.
American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Yeah, pick up your phone and start dialing now. This is the Free Speed Zone, where your calls and comments are welcome on any subject from any viewpoint, and you can call from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Lines are open for you right now. 831-899-5792, a local call on the Central Coast. That's 831-899-5792. Or call me toll-free, 888-579-2540.
Ready, steady, go!
That's 1-888-579-2540. Sometimes people complain that I whip that number out too quickly. Well, I like to go slow and help you out a little bit. 888-579-2540 puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show. It is sizzling hot here in California. I hope you're enjoying the heat. Probably makes you think a little bit about global warming and the human contributions to climate change, eh? Well, in our network news, I just heard the CBS hourly news on the KRXA feed from Monterey. And once again, I heard it earlier today. They reported, without any critical commentary, the ravings of one Myron Ebell. And they credit him as being a thinker at a think tank called the Competitive Enterprise Institute. And as we have disclosed on this program before, it's a phony think tank. And Myron Abell has no credentials to talk about climate change. I believe his degree is in anthropology. And he claims the doctorate, which he earned, in a subject that he doesn't talk about, at least not in his role as a so-called expert on climate change. And I just want to point it out, because I think when I get off the air tonight, I'm going to call CBS News in New York and make a little complaint. Consider that if today a tobacco company executive wanted to tell you that there's no connection between smoking cigarettes and cancer, we would not broadcast that point of view as balanced to somebody who says correctly that it does. You get my point? So a scientist says, you know, smoking causes cancer. Would we go to the tobacco industry for someone to lie and tell us their position? Oh, no, there's no proof. I believe the purpose of the Competitive Enterprise Institute is to spread doubt and to make fuzzy the science of climate change and the issues of global warming. And they get huge bucks every year from ExxonMobil, the coal industry, the nuclear power industry, the timber industry. All of your favorite extractors and exploiters support the American Enterprise Institute. And their spokespeople are permitted on our corporate media without explanation of what I just told you. And I object to that. Now, we're going to go to your calls here in just a moment. But I want to take this opportunity to identify the votes in the United States Senate today. There were two key amendments, each defeated, which relate to a plan to redeploy American forces and eventually get out of Iraq. First up, the Kerry Amendment received 13 yes votes. And the purpose of the Kerry Amendment, in three lines, to require the redeployment of United States armed forces from Iraq in order to further a political solution in Iraq, encourage the people of Iraq to provide for their own security, and achieve victory in the war on terror. That's John Kerry's language, not mine. And in that vote, 13 Democrats, well, 12 Democrats and Jim Jeffords, the independent from Vermont, voted for it. And this is encouraging because the only difference between this and a resolution that only garnered 6 votes last week is the date of withdrawal. Kerry moved it back from December 31st, 06 to July 1, 2007, and that explains the difference between 6 and 13 votes. Let's identify these courageous Democrats who are willing to stand up to the demagoguery of the right on the war in Iraq. Senator Akaka from Hawaii, Senator Boxer from California, Durbin from Illinois, Feingold from Wisconsin, Harkin from Iowa, Inouye from Hawaii, a decorated World War II vet, by the way, Jeffords from Vermont, I mentioned, Kennedy from Massachusetts, Kerry from Massachusetts, Lautenberg and Menendez from New Jersey, Leahy from Vermont, that's encouraging, and Wyden from Oregon. So these people deserve special mention because they're willing to stand up and be counted and show real leadership, as they're not buying into the BS that's coming out of the talking points of the Republicans, and they're not taking the bait on the cut and run appellation being applied by the Republicans to anybody who votes to change course in Iraq. The second resolution was defeated, but it garnered 39 votes. And this is a resolution which is non-binding, which says we ought to get out of Iraq, and it was framed by Senator Levin of Michigan. The yes votes on this, 39, I know it's a long list, but I'm going to share it with you anyway. The one Republican who voted for it is Lincoln Chafee of Rhode Island. And good for you, Senator Chafee. Again, the Democrats who voted for it, Akaka, Hawaii, Max Baucus from Montana, Evan Bayh from Indiana. He is one of the most conservative people there, and I often pick on him. Biden from Delaware, Bingaman, New Mexico, Boxer, California, Byrd, West Virginia. Good, Bobby. Cantwell from Washington, Carper from Delaware, Clinton from New York. Can you believe it? Hillary Clinton finally found a position that's different from the White House. Conrad from North Dakota, Dodd from Connecticut, Dorgan, North Dakota, Durbin, Illinois, Feingold, Wisconsin, Feinstein of California. That's real progress, friends. In a way of Hawaii, Jeffords, Vermont, the Independent, Johnson of South Dakota, Kennedy of Massachusetts, Kerry of Massachusetts, Cole from Wisconsin, Lautenberg from New Jersey, Leahy from Vermont, Levin from Michigan, Lincoln from Arkansas, Blanche Lincoln often votes with the Republicans, this is progress, Menendez of New Jersey, Mikulski of Maryland, Murray of Washington, Obama of Illinois, he voted against the other one, and that's a strike in his book, Reed of Rhode Island, Reed of Nevada, Salazar of Colorado, Sarbanes of Maryland, Schumer of New York, Stabenow of Michigan, and Wyden of Oregon. Now, I need to tell you five more names. These are the Democratic senators who voted against the Levin proposal. And they include Republican Joe Lieberman of Connecticut, who's been endorsed by Ann Coulter, Mary Landrieu of Louisiana, Senator Mark Dayton from Minnesota, and the Nelson brothers, Ben from Nebraska and Bill from Florida. Now, all of those Democrats are up for re-election this year, and they're running scared. And I hope that the voters in their states nail them for running scared, for showing a lack of courage at a time when this leadership could not be more important. All right, that's my point, and now I want to go to your calls, and let's see who's up first here. It's Ben, is that right? Ben and Salinas. Ben, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Yes, Peter. I need to draw a closer focus because we're talking about the gentleman on the last hour about the 9/11 buildings.
Yes.
Okay, now, 2 weeks prior to the 9/11 incident, it is a matter of record that the buildings were cleared for what was called a security sweep. Okay, even the custodians, everybody had to be out of there, and it was a 2 week thing. Now, like the man said, there were workers. These guys, they did something. There's people that know, and you know what that Building 7 is? That's the signature. Yeah, we did it. So what? That's the signature. Now, to visit the criteria of this young man that refuses to go fight this illegal war.
Watana.
Yes, and I say this with all due respect, and that lady, thank her for having the balls to stand in front of America, an American that's fighting for the America you and I believe in, sir. I need to say this. That Congress needs to revisit the criteria and either declare this as a legitimate, fundable, bona fide war, or tell us, we the people, why those two young men were slaughtered like a couple of hogs out there in farmland somewhere. Why did they suffer that? If they can't make their case as to why those people died for a bona fide, good, Christian, God-loving American reason, then I say give them a 90-day plan, get our boys out of there, throw the money at them to rebuild their own damn country with their people. And let's get on with the business of our country, sir.
Ben, had you been able to present that argument on the Senate floor during the debate this week, would have been demagogued by the right, who would have challenged your patriotism and suggested that you wanted to cut and run. That's all they know how to say. I got to take a break, but thanks for your call today. More calls coming up next here in the Free Speech Zone. Join me, 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, or toll-free, 1-888-579-2540. We're rocking along on the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
I'm Chuck Mackley, owner of Executive Financial Services. I can get you up to 12% interest on your investment on first and second trust deeds secured by real property. Don't settle for 3 to 5% on your money. Call me today at 443-7277. Your investment will be protected by the equity in the property and title insurance. Put your hard-earned money to work. Call Executive Financial Services at 443-7277 and ask for Chuck Mackley.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Join R.J. Moyer for his weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
KRXA 540 looks at your traffic situation. We get the latest from Metro Diane.
We're going to start at the Santa Cruz Mounds. We have a stalled vehicle southbound 17 at Redwood Estates Road. Stalled vehicle is blocking one of the lanes, so CHP en route to check out exactly which one and hopefully move it over to the shoulder. I have a two-vehicle accident in Monterey, Highway 68 at York Road. Both those vehicles have been moved out of the roadway onto the right-hand shoulder. And a solo vehicle accident in Carmel. It's Carmel Rancho Boulevard at Carmel Rancho Lane. Solo vehicle actually hit a tree there, so CHP en route for that. This report is brought to you by TomTom. TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way. To learn more, visit TomTom.com. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thank you, Diane. We'll check back with you in about half an hour. And Casey's got your traffic every weekday morning on the Stephanie Miller Show, right here on KRXA 540.
Here we go, starting another war. We got our heads up our asses, you know we're really bored. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans, and people say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really drown? We lie whenever we want to. Yeah, you know it's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're in the free speech zone. And my question to you is, have the Republicans made the right political calculation? They are doubling down under very risky circumstances, hoping that their staunch support for the war contrasts them with the Democrats and leads to victory and a retention of control of the House and the Senate this fall. Or is this a grotesque miscalculation? The beginning of the end of Republican rule in Washington, based on the fact that most Americans don't believe what Republicans are saying about this war at this time. They think that things are in much worse shape and that it is time to look at a new strategy there. Here's a quote from Chuck Hagel, conservative Republican from Nebraska, from this difficult debate over the past couple of days. He said, Congress fails in its duty when we do not probe, when we fail. We do not ask tough questions. And we fail when we do not debate the great issues of our day. There's no issue more important than war. The war in Iraq is the defining issue on which this Congress and the administration will be judged. The American people want to see serious debate about serious issues from serious leaders. They deserve more than a political debate. This debate should transcend cynical attempts to turn public frustration with the war in Iraq into an electoral advantage. It should be taken more seriously than to simply retreat into focus group-tested buzzwords and phrases like cut and run, catchy political slogans that debase the seriousness of war. War is not a partisan issue, Mr. President. It should not be held hostage to political agendas. War should not be drugged down into the political muck. America deserves better. Our men and women fighting and dying deserve better. Would that he had been heard by Senator Frist and the other demagogues in the upper house. Marianne in Pacific Grove, thanks for holding. You're next here in the Free Speech Zone.
Good afternoon, Peter.
Hi.
Two or three things, depending on time. Could you talk to the gentleman in Larkspur about bringing their show down here to the provinces?
I certainly will, and I'll invite them to Eureka as well.
That would be nice. I can't get to Larkspur, but I can get to Santa Cruz.
Okay.
Okay. Next thing, I agree with you. I think this is the beginning of the Republican crumble. I'm delighted about that. And the third thing about the assassination of those poor young men in Iraq, there was question of how could they have had time to mine the location of the bodies. It was already mined. All they had to do was cut a path through it to get them there.
Right. No, yeah. Anybody who lays a minefield knows where the explosives are.
Yeah. So it was all set to go 3 miles from the checkpoint. And also, I have seen just a mock-up on network TV, unfortunately, of what happened, and it was a sedan that stopped a Humvee, which means the sedan couldn't have carried heavy artillery, but the Humvee wasn't armed enough. The gentlemen weren't armed enough. If they had had just a little better, what is the word, ordnance?
Yep. There was also a diversionary episode of some sort that caused a number of the troops assigned to that checkpoint to go elsewhere temporarily.
Well, of course.
And it left those two guys exposed.
Of course.
But Marianne, the other thing that's really important to note here is that we are seeing our nationalism on display.
Yes.
And I certainly have sorrow for these two men who died and their families and the manner in which they were killed. We have to look, though, at the true record. And when you consider Abu Ghraib, when you consider the shock and awe campaign that killed thousands of civilians unnecessarily in Iraq, when you look at the occupation and how it's perceived by the people who live in Iraq, we should not be surprised. Certainly we can be appalled, but we should not be surprised that this kind of atrocious, ugly behavior is being used on us by our opponents.
I agree. The French Revolution was the same thing. When people have had enough, they turn.
Yeah.
And they'll use anything they've got. And it could happen to us if we were invaded. Oh, God, how many people have guns in this country?
Well, and a ruthless sense of righteousness.
Absolutely.
And that's what's being visited upon us there. I'm not rationalizing it or justifying it. I am only saying that we have to look at our role in lowering the fight to such a base level.
I agree. No, I do agree with that. I was just commenting on the logistics of what had happened to them. And yes, it was a setup, and that minefield was a setup. That's why nobody was seen doing it, because it had already been done.
Yeah. Thanks, Marianne. Now to Billy in Capitola. Hi, Billy. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter B.
Hi.
Yeah, you see, I'm going to tell you the truth, and it's painful to say it, but they figured out that the American people are incredibly stupid. And that's why they go for these slogans like cut and run and stay the course. So here's what I propose.
All right.
We got to make it really simple for these fools. So what I suggest is we get a cartoon so that we, whenever somebody says stay the course, all the legislatures or whomever stands up and they show the cartoon, and I guess it shows something like a chimp who looks like Bush running his toy car battleship into a wall or over a cliff, or, you know, and then for cut and run, I guess maybe we can have a cartoon where there's a whole bunch of legs in a pile and a soldier who can't run anywhere. You know, maybe that's it. I think we should go with the cartoon, a single cartoon that everybody shows every time those clowns bring up one of these slogans, because the American people are so stupid they fall for them. What do you think?
Well, yeah, on a certain level, I agree, and it is disappointing that the American public seems to have little resistance to the BS that is foisted by the right and the smokescreens that they create. But I really think that it's starting to unravel, and that more and more people are able to smell this rat. And I think that this is a highly risky maneuver by the Republicans. We may see in November that they pulled it off again. It'll take some miracles in the area we used to call Mesopotamia.
But what about my idea about, you know, really, literally, I'm talking about a cartoon like that. In other words, the thing they can't handle is ridicule. It makes them crazy. We need to ridicule this president, we need to ridicule this war, and we especially need to ridicule these slogans that do have so much power with these 100, you know, IQ guys.
Well, I certainly agree. We need to push back and we need to tell the truth. The problem is we've got to get in their faces. We have to, you know, find ways to sneak onto the Rush Limbaugh program in order to get that point across to the dumb ditto heads who are out there just sucking it up. Thanks,
but
Billy.
Every time,
I got to run.
Yeah.
But thank you, sir. We'll take more calls in a moment. Lines available 831-899-5792, 888-579-2540, toll free. I'm Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Palacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Hi, I'm Joan Kenley with Talking Matters. This Saturday at 3 on KRXA 540, we have a timely show about using and growing your intuition. World-famous author Sharon Frankamont and her daughter Megan will tell you just how to expand the way you intuit your life. This conversation and the good ideas will touch your mind, body, heart, and soul. Willis Harmon of Noetic Sciences said, "Intuition invites us into the center of our lives. Our show will invite you to go to your center. Here's Sharon's four simple steps for developing your intuition and the way Megan uses physical and emotional intuitive clues to make important decisions. Keep listening. We'll keep talking. My shows are archived on joankenley.com. That's K-E-N-L-E-Y. Don't miss our program on Using and Growing Your Intuition on Talking Matters this Saturday at 3.
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
In what ways are boys and girls different at birth, and how do nature and nurture contribute to a child's gendered experience of life? I'm Nurse Rona. Join us to discuss the social and cultural influences on gender and hear suggestions for fostering a healthy sense of self in children.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
We continue in the free speech zone. I'm Peter B. Collins. They call this the Peter B. Collins Show. All our lines are taken right now, but when we hang up on somebody, that's a good time to call. 831-899-5792 or toll free at 1-888-579-2540. Just before the break, Billy, one of my favorite callers, you're all favorite, but Billy was one of our early adopters of the Peter B. Collins Show just a little less than a year ago, and has made many stellar contributions. And Billy and others, I'd like to direct you to the website, the blog of Steve Pizzo. It's called newsforreal.com. And Billy's point about this ugly phrase, cut and run, that is used so vividly against Democrats. Steve Pizzo wrote a lengthy piece, and I'm just going to read you five or six of the entries here. We are liberal progressives, and damn it, we want to cut and run. We want to cut and run from the borrow and spend economics of the GOP that have piled an additional $4 trillion in debt onto our children. We want to cut and run from the unholy alliance between the GOP and energy companies that have left us at the mercy of a bunch of medieval Islamic tribal leaders who run their own countries like feudal states and treat their own people, especially women, worse than Americans treat farm animals. We want to cut and run from a national health care system designed by and for giant health care and pharmaceutical interests that enriches a few while leaving 45 million Americans without affordable health insurance. We want to cut and run from a government which over the past 6 years has become not only increasingly closed to public scrutiny and accountability, but overtly hostile and suspicious of citizens who insist on either. We want to cut and run from a style of governance that not only plays on fear and petty prejudices, but cultivates and exploits them for cheap political gain. The cynical, dishonest, purposeful pitting of majority populations against minority groups on the grounds that they don't share American values, and then later deny responsibility for the entirely predictable destructive consequences of those tactics. And one more. We want to cut and run from policies that view science and scientists as adversaries whose findings must sometimes be suppressed while embracing, even endorsing, religious dogmas that have no basis in fact whatsoever. Can you say intelligent design? Allison Humboldt, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Well, Peter B., you have an excellent program and wonderful guests. I am just calling to thank you for that.
Well, you're entirely welcome. It's my pleasure, and it's cheaper than psychotherapy for me.
Yeah, I hope you will be able to help get at the truth about 911. You make me have a little hope.
Well, I'm very glad to hear that. It's gratifying for me. And, Alice, I understand from Dave, your friend who called a little bit earlier in the program, that in Humboldt, people have taken out a full-page ad in the local paper in support of Lieutenant Watata.
Well, it could be.
Okay.
I guess I haven't seen it yet.
I thought maybe you were in cahoots with them on that.
Oh, well, I'm in cahoots with a lot of things with him, but I haven't heard about that.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate your call, and I applaud the activism that comes out of Humboldt County. It's something the whole state could use.
Yeah, well, it's been wonderful having you. Okay.
All right. I'll talk to you again soon. Thanks, Alice.
Yeah.
Now to Mike in Pebble Beach. Hello, Mike. You're on the air.
I've been thinking all week long about that phrase, cut and run, thinking to myself, it's not a bad strategy. It's more of a plan than we've heard from the administration. But this morning, Congressman Murtha, who's something of a military expert, explained what the phrase really meant. And apparently it's a tactic in naval warfare where ships on station would position themselves but anchor with rope, so that when the enemy appeared in their flotilla, they could cut the line and maneuver so that they could conduct the warfare more effectively.
Well, you would think.
And what Murtha has been proposing is pretty much exactly that. He's been saying, let's get out of Iraq and go over the horizon.
Yeah, he wants to avoid being an easy target or a sitting duck like a ship at anchor.
So that's exactly what cut and run means.
Mm-hmm. And do you suppose that the reason that Karl Rove has settled on this as the power buzz phrase, and you know that Frank Luntz has been out there testing it with focus groups,
yeah,
is because there isn't anybody in the White House who actually served in the military and would know the history of that phrase?
That's right. I think it's the perfect way to come back at them and say the rebuttal is you guys don't know what you're talking about, and you've just been proving it one more time.
Mike, that's great. Thanks for contributing. Anything else you want to add?
Well, I think what we need to do is put more pressure on some of these weak-kneed Democrats. And I'm wondering if there isn't a way that we can appeal to some of the Greens and some of the other parties to help us all vote for people who are truly on what I'll call our side,
mm-hmm,
as opposed to just voting blindly Democrat for some of these idiots who seem to just go along with whatever the administration wants to do.
Well, Mike, I don't know how often you listen, but I've been a frequent critic of Senator Feinstein, who is gliding to re-election here
couldn't
in California
agree more
again this year. But she's starting to get it.
Uh-huh.
She voted for the Levin proposal, and she also, you know, I think is moving in the right direction. Her floor speech in the debate indicates that, you know, she's very cautious about it, but she is moving toward the MRTHA position.
Well,
and I see that as encouraging. And to your other point, to me, the target is Senator Joe Lieberman of Connecticut.
Exactly.
He has voted with the Republicans. This is not just one time too many. This is about the 10th time too many.
Exactly.
And there's a great challenger there who's been on our program several times, and I had a chance to meet him in Washington last week, Ned Lamont. And he's going to give Lieberman a really hard run. I won't say that it's going to be easy or that he'll rout him, but Lieberman is clearly scared by the challenge, and for him to continue to vote with the Republicans despite having a progressive challenger is a very risky tactic for Lieberman to take.
And we need a lot more of that, and we need to put more pressure on both the Democrats, who don't seem to be able to make up their mind or want to go with the flow, to make them realize the flow is heading the other way. And if they don't want to get in the fight, we'll vote for somebody who will promise to go along with true liberal Democrats.
Yep. Well, and also it appears that Hillary Clinton is starting to see the weakness of her position. It's still a mess, but she did vote for the Levin Amendment today, and that's a little bit encouraging.
I get a sense of a slow turning of the tide, and I just want to kind of speed it up by letting these Democrats know we want to find other choices. If they're not going to go along with the fight, then get out of the way.
Mike, give us a 10-second weather report from Pebble Beach today.
Kind of cool and foggy and damp. I'm sitting in my home wearing a jacket, not quite ready to put on the fire yet, but I'm thinking about it for the evening.
All right. That's going to help cool off the people in Salinas and Arcata.
It sure will.
Who are really sweating it out today. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome, Peter.
Nice to talk with you. Now to Ed in Aptos. Hello, Ed.
Actually, I'm up in Pacifica, but...
Well, we're just going to give you credit for your homestead.
The weather report from Pacifica, it's hot.
Yeah. No fog in Pacifica, huh?
Not yet. I just got in this afternoon from Germany, so it was hot in Germany. That was unexpected.
Wow.
And I haven't heard, I've been blessed that I haven't had to listen to anything about Bush or any of his things. I guess I did catch that he'd gone to Iran, and I guess I picked up some papers today saying that...
Yeah, he went to Iraq, actually. Just for 6 hours. And he this week went to Vienna and Budapest to observe the 50th anniversary of the Hungarian Revolution from the commies. And he got a pretty negative response in Vienna yesterday.
Yeah, I saw caught a little bit of TV where they're out there, right, which... I mean, anybody you talk to in Europe, at least the people we're talking to, aren't very impressed with him.
Yeah, Bush has a 15% approval rating in Europe. He's that's what Cheney has in the U.S.
Anyhow, I'll be calling in from time to time once again. I was wondering if you'd heard from Jake whether he'd won his he was elected to the high post of County Central Committee.
He, whatever the numbers were, I think there were 6 seats available, and he placed 7th. but his partner Shannon did win one of the seats.
Okay, well.
So he gets to go to the meetings and carry her briefcase.
True. There we will always report appoint alternates, so he can be an alternate.
So he came close, and he said it was a great race, and he enjoyed it. And we also heard from one of the other members of the Central Committee, I think Paula, who told us that she welcomed his energy in that capacity.
Well, good. That's good to hear.
Yeah.
Well, and things have been. You were in Washington for a little bit.
Yeah, we did the show from there last week. There was an event called the Take Back America Conference, and it was fascinating. A lot of great people that I got to talk to and hear speak, and we did live broadcasts from there, and so it was interesting.
Very good.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to be back, and
good to have you back in the Pacific Time Zone, Ed. Hope you had a great show.
Yeah. Did you catch my email I sent? I didn't know if it got to you or not, or.
I don't think so.
Oh, I gave you a URL for a website that was an interesting analysis of TWA Flight 800 or whatever.
Okay.
The TWA flight is.
I'll scour my, because my email box gets a lot of stuff, and I try to find things.
I sent it to the station email address, not your Peter B. or whatever.
Great.
Anyhow.
I'll check it out, Ed.
It's good talking to you, and we'll calling back soon, I hope.
Real good, and get over the jet lag. Good luck to you. Cynthia's next in Monterey. Hi, Cynthia. You're on the Peter B. show.
Yeah. I'd like to comment on what I was doing when the towers came down. I just finished reading Adam Bede by George Fan, which is a book about Christian compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And I had started reading Nathaniel Hawthorne's House of Seven Gables, I think it's called, which I never finished. And now I'm reading a lot of Osa and Martin Johnson because they wrote a lot about cannibals and Margaret Mead, a lot about anthropology. And so we had Rockefeller, was David Rockefeller's son that supposedly got cannibalized down there in New Guinea?
I don't remember that.
Well, I'm just trying to wonder what would make the depravity issue. I mean, everything that the guy was saying about the cabal and bringing down the towers and the covert thing,
mm-hmm.
there still needed to be like an explanation, at least for me, of how they could have that level of depravity.
Yeah.
You know, in their personal, and I guess you'd have to study the people themselves, their personal backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
It couldn't just be a speculative, like, it's very hard to pinpoint the rationale.
Well, and it's what we, you know, loosely call a mind bender, or in cruder language, a mind effer. but it really is so challenging to us as humans, and particularly those of us who consider ourselves, more progressive or liberal. Our worldview, our life view, does not include these really dark, ruthless elements that do exist, we know, in some people's personalities. But maybe it's our Pollyanna approach to life. That's maybe what a conservative would describe it as.
Well, Bin Laden is the perfect case history. You know, he dresses like the bad genie or the evil genie in Jason and the Argonauts or something, you know, and it's all tone and dramatic, and the stage is set, and people are strutting their stuff and what have you. But it's so devoid of nature. I mean, after reading George Sand and Hawthorne, you know, I'm really envious of the times they lived in, where they could like talk to a tree, you know, and we just were so far away from the natural.
Just get on your bike and ride Highway 1. There are plenty of trees for you to talk to.
Did you ever read the book People of the Lie?
I have not.
Well, mm-hmm. It's a very good study on evil, mm-hmm. modern day evil.
Well, I do take your question seriously, and it is hard
as
for us to process.
As opposed to, like, 2,000 years of crusading evil. You know what I'm saying? Modern evil.
Do. It is hard for us to process
very
possibility that people could be so dark and depraved.
Well,
thanks a lot for your call today.
Right,
I got to move along here. More calls coming up next in the Free Speech Zone, 831-899-5792. I'm sorry, 899-5792. There's a line available there. And you can call me toll-free, 888-579-2540. 47 minutes past the hour, and I'm Peter B. Collins.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience, who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic one more time. Here's Metro Diane.
We have an accident in Capitola, northbound 1 at 41st Avenue. Two vehicles involved. They both have been moved out of the roadway onto the right-hand shoulder. Also, two-vehicle accident, Freedom Boulevard at McDonald Road in Day Valley. Both those vehicles are on the right-hand shoulder as well. Second Highway 17, both directions through the Santa Cruz Mountains, stalling accident free. In Salinas, Davis Road between Westridge Parkway and Auto Center Circle, there is some maintenance work going on in the area as crews resurface the roadway. Southbound lanes are closed with traffic detoured to one northbound lane, so expect delays there. This report is brought to you by National University. Command powerful machines to do your bidding. Earn your BS in computer science at National University. Visit the San Jose Academic Center today or call 1-800-NATUNIV. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thank you, Diane. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm delighted you're listening. We've got plenty of callers on the line, but you can always drop me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com. I appreciate your notes, your comments, and your information. That's peter@peterbcollins.com. More of your calls in just a second, but I wanted to update our listeners because on this program we have frequently talked about the possibility of impeachment for Cheney and Bush. And we spoke a few weeks back to Assemblyman Paul Koretz of West Hollywood, who is sponsoring a resolution, a joint resolution, AJR 39, in the legislature in Sacramento. And it's been stalled because we believe that Speaker Fabian Nunez thinks there aren't enough votes and thinks that it's, I guess, not germane to state politics. I disagree. And there's an effort to pressure the Speaker with an online petition. And this URL is just a little long, but it's fairly simple, so let me give it to you twice. And if you're so inclined, you can go and sign that petition. It's at www.gopetition.com/online/8849.html. I'll repeat that because I know it's hard to get these things right. So gopetition.com/online/8849.html. One more time. gopetition.com/online/8849.html. www.tyrannosaurus.html. John in Carmel Valley, thanks for holding on. You're on the air. John, do we have you? Going once. I hear somebody on that line. No, James, I'm going to hold on. James is working feverishly in the studio to get all this squared away. We're looking for John in Carmel Valley on line 5. How about that, John? Are you with us?
Yeah, I could hear you all the time. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now, just now. Go right ahead, sir.
I would urge all of your listeners to get more knowledgeable about the whole Vietnam conflict, especially how we got mired in it. And a good book, an excellent book on that, is Barbara Tuchman's March of Folly, which uses, before she gets into Vietnam, which is the second half of the book, she starts with the Trojan War. She talks about the British and their predicament in the Revolutionary War. And she also deals with the six Renaissance popes. And I think there was one more conflict besides Vietnam. But it's just full of very interesting information. One thing that is stuck in my mind is she says in the book, makes a big case for it, that the big evangelist for the domino theory, which was sort of the key thought in pursuing Vietnam, was John Foster Dulles, who, when the French were at the point of pulling out after that disastrous Dam Phu battle they so ignominiously lost, he tried to talk them into staying. And, of course, they wouldn't. And so he talked Eisenhower into starting then some deployment, some militarization of that area, so that by the time Johnson arrives and Kennedy has been assassinated, we already had 50,000 of our troops there in what they called an advisor status, mainly.
I remember.
Now, I have a question for you, because I don't want to take any more of your time with details about Vietnam. I'll leave that gathering to your listeners. But I have a question for you, because I have ignorance in one key area on Vietnam, and maybe you can clear it up. I cannot remember any use of National Guardsmen at all in Vietnam, but I may be wrong.
No, that's why we had the draft.
Yeah, I know. But were they ever used? I mean, you well remember, I'm sure, that Westmoreland was always calling for more troops. That was his clarion call. Mm-hmm. Give me another 10,000, another 20, and you'll see a reversal. The whole tide will be turned.
Well, John, I'm going to make a note to ask Scott Dick, who served in Vietnam, who will be on with us tomorrow afternoon.
But you're not sure, in other words.
I'm not positive, but I do not recall any Guard I believe some reserves were deployed, but I don't believe National Guard was ever called up during Vietnam, and we'll check that tomorrow. So if you listen
to Korea. I'm almost certain that this use in Iraq is not only cruel for the guardsmen and their families, because they really aren't prepared for this, but also unprecedented.
All right, I'm going to check it out, and we'll talk about it more tomorrow. Thanks for bringing that up, John. Also, I want to acknowledge a lengthy email from PJ in Arcata, who offered some great history about the Italian invasion of Ethiopia in 1935, drawing parallels to our invasion of Iraq more recently. Thank you for that, PJ. Now to Dave in Humboldt. Hello, Dave. You're on the air. That's line 2.
Good afternoon, Peter. How's it going?
Just fine, Dave. Go right ahead.
Hey, I called you a couple days ago. I just want to follow up. It was about an AWOL soldier from Eugene who was arrested by the police and taken back to her unit. And I was able to find the information on it. The woman's name is Suzanne Swift. She's 21 years old. She had been in Iraq for a whole year. Came back complaining of sexual harassment and post-traumatic stress disorder after she was to be deployed after 18 months, and they decided to make her go back after 7. And I just don't know what to say. The whole thing is so ridiculous. The imagination, what I put in my mind of the police coming into this woman's home, this 21-year-old girl, her mom's there, and they tear her away, and she's back with her unit being forced to go back to do what we know is going on in Iraq. This has got to stop. I guess this call is a little bit of venting, a little bit of information, but it's just too much. I really appreciated your show today. I did watch the Loose Change video today. I had access to it.
Oh, good.
And, oh, my goodness, I've already read all this stuff, but to actually see it put into video, I highly recommend people watch it. we're in some trouble here. We're in some serious trouble.
You're putting
it mildly.
I don't
know how else to say it, but
thanks for telling us about
21-year-old girl being ripped from her home is really what's killing me today.
Suzanne Swift, we'll follow up on it. And once again, the website, Thank You LT, will give you more information about Lieutenant Watata.
And that person is in high profile, but this 21-year-old girl, you got to really search hard to find the information. Apparently her lawyer, there's a guy named Larry Hildes is her lawyer, and he claims hundreds of soldiers are seeking this type of legal support to not have to go back to Iraq. This is real.
Okay.
Hey,
thank you very much.
Peter,
we'll check it
do.
Out. All right. Good to hear from you. Now to Joe in Brookings, Oregon. Hello, Joe. You're on the air. All right. Let's try Frank in Marina, line 3. Frank, you're up.
Peter, you have a terrific show today.
Well, thank you.
I saw Jim Hoffman on TV several years ago on on the INN report on Free Speech TV.
Mm-hmm. Only 20 seconds left, Frank.
Okay.
Go for it.
Wow. I'm going to support
pressure.
Lieutenant Watata. There's two rallies. Well, they're in different cities around the country, but for our area here, next Friday up in San Francisco on Market and Embarcadero between 5 and 6 p.m., and in Oakland, noon to 1 o'clock next Friday, a week from tomorrow,
okay,
at the Oakland Federal Building on 1301 Clay Street.
Frank, thanks. You can call again tomorrow, but I'm out of time today. Trigger's
okay.
Here, and I got to go.
Tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Happy trails to you.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. 7 suspected terrorist plotters have been arrested in a series of raids by federal agents in Miami. Reporter Brian Andrews of CBS television affiliate WFOR says it's believed to be a homegrown group.
Apparently this group of men from South Florida were trying to contact somebody to get their hands on a bomb. And several of them, they wanted to not blow up just one, but several downtown office buildings. We're told that one of them, according to a Justice Department official, may have been the new U.S. courthouse in downtown Miami.
Reportedly, the targets also included the Sears Tower in Chicago. One federal law enforcement official is quoted as saying the suspects have no apparent ties to Al-Qaeda or any other foreign terrorist group. The arrests were made in Miami's Port Liberty City section. In a separate development, Treasury Department officials say they've gained broad access to international banking records in an effort to cut financial support for terrorism. The Bush administration acknowledged the program after several newspapers reported it on their websites. With North Korea prepping a new long-range missile for test firing, Defense Secretary Rumsfeld was asked today what might be done if it lifts off.
The president would make a decision with respect to the nature of the launch. Whether it was threatening to the territory of the United States or not.
CBS News correspondent David Martin.
The best analysis by the experts is that the most likely trajectory for this launch will have it splashing down somewhere in the ocean and not threatening American territories.
But if there is any threat, Martin reports the U.S. missile defense system will be prepared to shoot it down. The system was tested today on another type of missile.
The target was intercepted approximately 100 miles above the Pacific Ocean and 250 miles northwest of the island of Kauai.
Chris Taylor of the Missile Defense Agency says the test was scheduled months ago. A surprising twist in the baseball steroid investigation. 2 San Francisco Chronicle reporters have written extensively on the subject, focusing on Giant slugger Barry Bonds. An online court filing in the federal investigation inadvertently reveals that convicted steroid distributor Victor Conti was their source. According to the filing, Conte joked in an email to one of the reporters that the Chronicle should put him on its payroll. The reporters aren't commenting, and Chronicle editor Phil Bronstein will only say this.
We stand behind their work, the stories, their integrity, and their insistence on maintaining the